chiropractors will also be held accountable for crimes committed under U.S. law. Meeting in Baghdad with U.S. Defense Chief Robert Gates, Commander David Petraeus announced today the level of sectarian violence in Iraq has declined 60% in 6 months. Tokyo's leading newspaper reports Japan's prime minister intends to pressure parliament to resume the country's mission supporting NATO in the Afghanistan war. The Japanese Navy has provided refueling for warships in the Indian Ocean. A new White House plan to freeze subprime mortgage rates for the next 5 years, introduced by President Bush today, more than a million American homeowners faced with rising mortgage payments will now have a better chance of holding on to their homes. House Democrats won passage of a wide-ranging energy bill that requires the first increase in auto fuel economy standards in decades. Facing a tough Senate vote, the legislation would then most likely be vetoed by President Bush. The bill contains provisions that repeal tax breaks for oil companies and requires utilities to produce most of their electric power from renewable sources. In Uganda, there are reports of an outbreak of a new strain of the deadly Ebola virus. At least 75 people have been infected with the highly contagious, nearly always fatal disease. In northern China, 96 miners are feared dead in an underground explosion in a state-owned coal mine. China operates the most dangerous mines in the world. More than 3,000 workers have been killed so far just this year. An Omaha, Nebraska shopping mall is closed today, where yesterday 8 people were gunned down by a teenage shooter who then shot himself. 19-year-old Robert Hawkins reportedly stole his stepfather's AK-47 rifle and smuggled it into the Westroads Mall under his sweatshirt. A federal appeals court blocked a White House policy that allows logging and burning projects in the national forests without first determining any effect on the environment. The 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that the U.S. Forest Service violated the National Environmental Policy Act, billed as a way to reduce wildfires. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Now this message.
Looking to find the best in the USA? Come to Boulevards.com. We're the best address and city guides across the U.S. For the best information in travel, Boulevards.com gives you the most up-to-date choices for the best in dining, hotels, entertainment, adventure, and exciting tips to make your holiday the best it can be. Whether you're a local or just looking for great getaway tips, go to Boulevards.com and get the best. Be independent of search engines. Make your choices. We're Boulevards.com. Come visit us at SanFrancisco.com, SanJose.com, Carmel.com, WashingtonDC.com, PaloAlto.com, Seattle.com, Oakland.com, SanAntonio.com, Denver.com, and many more. We are Boulevards.com, the best in your visiting the USA. Come visit us at Boulevards.com.
Sotheby's auction house broke all records for the amount of money paid for both a sculpture and an antiquity. An anonymous buyer paid more than $57 million for a tiny limestone carving of a lioness dating back to ancient Mesopotamia. Talks in the Hollywood writers' strike resumed today on an optimistic note struck by union officials. The strike is in its fifth week and affects both TV and film. A major economic research group says Americans can expect the housing slump to grow deeper by as much as 30% in 2009. Moody'sEconomy.com says the U.S. has not experienced such a housing crisis since World War II. Gunmaker Smith & Wesson posting a second quarter profit of nearly $3 million, or 7 cents a share. That's up slightly from 1 year ago. Sales were helped by a strong demand from law enforcement. And Dow Jones CEO Richard Zannino says he'll step down after News Corp's pending acquisition of the company is complete. It'll be the first in a series of high-level executive changes in connection with a historic change in ownership. Light sweet crude oil trading at $90.23 a barrel. Gold is trading at $807.10 an ounce. Wall Street extended gains for a second day in light of a White House plan to curb home foreclosures. The Dow up 175 points. There's more on our website at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Okay! Tokyo!
South America!
Now, head on with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Six minutes past the hour, I am Bob Kincaid, and I must tell you that I am in the depths of a chocolate binge. Oh, it's so easy to sit here behind the desk running programs, setting up the rerun stream, prepping for the show, surfing around, chatting in the headonradionetwork.com chat room, and eating chocolate. Yes, yes it is. I received a box of little Andes mints, and I am powerless over them. They have me in their thrall. But I'll try to get through. You know, there's a little bit of caffeine in chocolate, so, you know, I got, and me, you know, I'm so sensitive that, you know, to caffeine and other drugs that, you know, I walk into Starbucks and I just start bouncing off the walls. So I'll try to keep sane, and I'll try to keep, cogent and focused as we get through these 3 hours tonight. Bear with me if I get a little manic. I'll try not to. Tonight we have a guest on the way in about an hour. He's been on the show before. I hope you will enjoy the conversation as much as I know I will. We'll be talking with Dave Silverman. He is the communications director for Atheists of America. We'll be talking about Okay. Do me a favor, everybody. I'm going to work on this, too. Eugene Finnerman reminded us of this last night, and I want you to take it to heart, and I want you to use it the same way I do. Please. I'm not asking, you know, it's not be like Bob or, you know, Bob's little acolyte or anything. You know, this isn't that way. Former Governor Romney's real name is Willard. Please refer to him as such in the future. If we refer to him as Willard enough, people will begin to associate him with the rat in the movie, and then we won't have to worry about him anymore. So Willard Romney today went to College Station, Texas, you know, where they've got that university where all the students go to the football games dressed up like General Pershing's corps, with their little Sam Brown belts and their bloused out pants and their jack boots and so forth. He went to the George H.W. Bush Presidential Library on the campus of Texas A&M University in College Station, Texas, and delivered his religion speech. Heavens to Betsy. I watched some of it. I got done, and I didn't feel like I needed a shower. I felt like I needed to be deloused. I needed some sort of chemical bath. It was just slippery and sleazy and slimy and ooey and ooky and just nasty. But Willard Romney got up and told America basically that people who don't believe in invisible cloud critters can go get stuffed. So this evening, as one of those people who can apparently go get stuffed as far as Willard Romney is concerned, we'll be talking with the communications director of American Atheists, and that's Dave Silverman. A very reasonable man. Very pleasant man to talk to. Yes, Jersey, Willard is his baptized name. His daddy and his mommy named him Willard. Don't you just, for those of you who are of a certain age, don't you just see the little rat? But it was a disgusting speech. He dredged up Samuel Adams, you know, brewer, patriot, as a reason for people to have the church all married up inside government. But more than anything, there is one phrase, and then, you know, I should probably hush and save this for our conversation with Dave Silverman. But there is one phrase that is reverberating. It seems to be the signature phrase from this speech. And it is utterly stupid. Yeah, stupid's a workable word. And that is, there can be no freedom. Or no, no. Freedom needs religion, and religion needs freedom. What? Something patently ignorant that is utterly meaningless. It could not withstand the test of logical scrutiny. But you know how I am. Everything for me has a predecessor. And in this particular case, I hearken back, and I'm looking for it here. I hearken back to that notable theological skeptic, Mark Twain, in something called The Double-Barreled Detective Story. And it's a dandy, I promise you. It really, really is. But Mark Twain, having been a prankster and prone to playing literary tricks on his audience, would include language, and he did so in this particular story, it was sort of a red herring, if you will. And I'm looking for it now. That's not it. We'll get there in a second. See, this is conversation radio on the fly, and, you know, it's not always about what you've got done before the show, it's what hits you during the show. So what we're going to do is we're going to go and we're going to find this little, because you'll understand when I get there. There it is. Okay, Mitt Romney said, religion needs freedom, and freedom needs religion, or something equally silly. I'm trying to think exactly what it was. And, yeah, there it is. Freedom requires religion just as religion requires freedom. Now, our good friend Eugene Finnerman over at FinnermanWorks.com, your RDA of irony, the sharpest satirist on the Internet, noted, the Founding Fathers would have been surprised to hear that freedom requires religion. And any number of inquisitors and imams, Ayatollah Khomeini, for instance, have disproven that religion requires freedom. You know, in spades they have. So, that having been said, that little bit of insanity that was, and inanity... Goodness me, I'm sorry, I hate coughing on the air. That little bit of inanity having been thrown out there, and because it means nothing, it means absolute... Religion requires freedom. No, it's not. You can't prove that one there, Willard. It just doesn't work that way. Well, freedom requires religion. No, can't prove that one either, buddy. So Chapter 4 of The Double-Barreled Detective Story by Samuel Langhorne Clemens, also known as Mark Twain. It was a crisp and spicy morning in early October. The lilacs and laburnums, lit with the glory fires of autumn, hung burning and flashing in the upper air, a fairy bridge provided by kind nature for the wingless wild things that have their homes in the treetops and would visit together. The larch and the pomegranate flung their purple and yellow flames in brilliant broad splashes along the startling sweep of the woodland. The sensuous fragrance of innumerable deciduous flowers rose upon the swooning atmosphere far in the empty sky. A solitary esophagus slept upon motionless wing. Everywhere brooded stillness, serenity, and the peace of God. I remember the first time I read that, I about had a fit. Then this would be years and years and years ago. A solitary esophagus slept on motionless wing? What? Lilacs and laburnums and glory fires of autumn? Deciduous flowers? Larches and pomegranates flinging purple and yellow flames in brilliant broad splashes along the startling sweep of the wonder woodland? There's no difference between that bit of silliness, which, for all its silliness, was entirely intentional on the part of Mr. Twain, and the open fraud committed by Willard Romney today in his speech to the credulous. They really are. They're interchangeable. Freedom requires religion just as religion requires freedom. Far in the empty sky, a solitary esophagus slept upon motionless wing. Everywhere brooded stillness, serenity, and the peace of God. Same crap. Because, it's artfully done by Mr. Twain. On the part of Mr. Romney, however, he could just as well have gotten up and, he could have done Mr. Twain, or he could have done something entirely, he could have done something entirely different, but every bit is fitting. Instead of getting up and saying, freedom requires religion just as religion requires freedom, he could have gotten up and said, 'Twas Brillig and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogroves and the mome raths outgrabe. Beware the jabberwock, my son, the jaws that bite, the claws that catch. Beware the jubjub bird, and shun the frumious bandersnatch. He took his vorpal blade, sword in hand. Long time the mossum foe he sought. So rested he by the tum-tum tree, and stood a while in thought. And as in uffish thought he stood, the jabberwock with eyes of flame came whiffling through the turgy wood, and burbled as it came. 1-2, 1-2, and through, the vorpal blade went snicker-snack, dead, and with its head he went galumphing back. And hast thou slain the jabberwock? Come to my arms, my beamish boy! O frabjous day, Kaloo-Kalay, he chortled in his joy. Freedom requires religion, just as religion requires freedom. 'Twas Brillig and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogroves and the mome raths outgrabe. And a solitary esophagus slipped on motionless wing. Oh, it was a sleazy piece of political chicanery that Willard Romney did today in College Station, Texas. But he did it in College Station, Texas, where he knew his audience would be comprised entirely of the credulous, the gullible, and the stupid. But, you know, it's not always what gets said, but sometimes what you see, and I did in fact watch it and not just hear it, and I can't do much about the video here on this here internet radio program, but I can tell you that at the end of the program, what I saw, well, this picture was indeed worth a thousand words. Because at the end of his speech, hateful, miserable, satanic old George H.W. Poppy Bush came hobbling up to him with that fearsome, ferocious, vile old beast of a wife of his. And they hugged on Mitt Romney like he was the long-lost prodigal son. Like he was the son they always wished they could have had instead of that thing that's in the White House now. Oh, there was some serious political hugging going on, brothers and sisters. And it was ookie. Just ookie. What does it mean? You know, this is like, I don't know. This is like Jacob coming to Isaac to get the blessing ahead of Esau. I mean, you can't just sit there and go a-hugging on George H.W. Bush, and if you get the nomination, not name his other evil son your running mate. Now, can you? You see, there was more to it than just the ridiculous speech. There was also contained in this appearance the tacit approval of La Familia Bush. There was contained in this speech a little pat on the head for Willard Romney, an approval from the Kennebunkport Cosa Nostra, if you will. Am I reading more into this than there is there? No, I don't think so. Mm-mm. No. When that hateful old beast and that doddering old satanic fool come up and start a-hugging on you and you're a presidential candidate, that's the laying on the hands, baby. That is approval. And I'll bet you George W. Bush, H.W. Bush and Babs would no sooner smollock around and lollygag on Mike Huckabee or Rudy Giuliani than they would take up live serpents. So that's a beginning place tonight. And we will not only begin with it, we will talk about it at some length when Dave Silverman joins us at the top of the next hour. In the meantime, there's other stuff, and a lot of it. And I think, I think we'll have ourselves a little interlude, if you know what I mean. A little interlude and come back and get on with some of the other stories that are out there. Because I sort of need to step back from Willard Romney for a few minutes. And of course, your phone calls are always welcome. You know the number, 304-658-5453. If you need us to pay the freight, it's 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Yeah, this'll work. This is a nice little bookend to Willard Romney. I'm Bob Kincaid. The time cannot be erased. Close my eyes, but I couldn't find a way. So I'll settle for one day to believe in you. Tell me lies.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at CityNet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit CityNet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Yeah, my name is Billy.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Thursday on Fox Stop at midnight Eastern, where we'll take a look at Lenny Kravitz.
The spiritual, you know. It's very important to me. It should be important to all of us, you know. It's like, especially the situation that the world is in, you know. I think it's time for people to really start to think about this whole universe and where we come from and where we're going and get involved.
So be there Thursday midnight on Fox Stop, right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn. This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org. The official theme song of the Willard Romney for President campaign, that's the Three Dog Night and Liar. Now, let's go ahead and just do a little bit. I want to give you a little background so you won't think that I'm just out there saying stuff. The opening of Willard Romney's speech was, well, the whole thing. I remember in the great discussions of the Supreme Court about obscenity, I remember the words of, and they're very famous words, that's why I remember them, I don't remember any obscure words. The famous words of Justice Potter Stewart in describing obscenity, he said, "I can't tell you what it is, but I know it when I see it." Well, one's ears don't lie either. And what you had today in College Station, Texas, was obscenity pure and simple. Forgot to turn the ringer off again, I did. Romney said, talking of the George H.W. Bush Presidential Library, this is an inspiring place because of you and the First Lady talking about Poppy and that hateful old beast, Babs. He went on to say, it's also inspiring because of the film that's exhibited across the way in the Presidential Library. For those of you who have not seen it, it shows the president as a young pilot, shot down during the Second World War, being rescued from his life raft by the crew of an American submarine. Wow, Willard, using some selective details there, aren't you, buddy? Yep, it shows George H.W. Bush being rescued from his life raft all by himself, having bailed out of his plane without a dime's worth of regard for the other three lives inside that TBF Avenger. And of course, Willard, you also can't be bothered to tell the assembled faithful that the reason George W. Bush, H.W. Bush, was shot down was because he wasn't a very good pilot. He just wasn't. He wasn't sent out on torpedo runs. There are no sunken ships to his credit. When they had to send little Poppy out in his airplane, they sent him out loaded with film, not torpedoes. And he ostensibly flew recon missions. Yeah, sure. He said, Willard Romney did, it's a moving reminder that when America has faced challenge and peril, Americans rise to the occasion, willing to risk their very lives to defend freedom and preserve our nation. We're in your debt, Mr. President. Thank you. Yeah, George Bush, you won the Second World War all by yourself. Screw all those other World War II veterans, right, Willard? He also couldn't be bothered to tell the assembled faithful that the reason George H.W. Bush became one of the youngest Navy pilots in the Navy's history up to that point was because George H.W. Bush's daddy had been caught red-handed doing business with the Nazis in conjunction with Brown Brothers Harriman, who were up to their eyeballs in business with Fritz Thyssen, who was commonly referred to as Hitler's angel. Willard Romney, also couldn't be bothered to tell the assembled faithful that George H.W. Bush's daddy, Prescott Bush, had actually been busted by the federal government under the Trading with the Enemies Act, and that the records of that bust are available in the archives of the United States of America to this day. Nope, can't talk about any of that. But, you know, that wasn't all the sleazing he did. Like I said, I watched and listened to this thing, and I felt like I needed to have some sort of a chemical spray applied to me and just take two or three layers of skin off my hide just to get the evil off. Yuck. This is his religion speech, but he goes on, radical violent Islam seeks to destroy us. An emerging China endeavors to surpass our economic leadership. Well, let's take those one by one there, Willard. What do you say? Radical violent Islam seeks to destroy us. Well, you know, they might not be seeking quite so hard if it weren't for Republican policies that continue to poke a sharp stick at them. Like, oh, I don't know, how about today's opening of the kangaroo court trials in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba? In which one person and a few others are finally beginning to go on trial. In which some almost 400 individuals rot for years on end in what can only be called an American concentration camp, most of whom will never be charged with a crime, only 80 of whom are planned to be tried. And one of whom, as I mentioned on the horn section last night, tried to kill himself by slitting his own throat with a sharpened fingernail. That's desperation. What are we going to do? Pull out the fingernails now? Radical violent Islam seeks to destroy us. Bull! Radical violent Islam seeks to transform our way of life from a free and open society to a closed and terrified one, Willard, you damn dummy. An emerging China endeavors to surpass our economic leadership. Willard! Willard, you were delivering a speech in the same room with the daddy of the jackass who has hung $1 trillion worth of bad paper all over communist China. Don't you think that's in bad taste to be doing that in the jackass's daddy's house? And we're troubled at home by government overspending, overuse of foreign oil, and the breakdowns of the family. Yeah, that's my big three. Government overspending, overuse of foreign oil, and the breakdown of the family. I'm telling you, this was not easy to get through. This was a dadgum challenge. But even as sleazy as all that is, and as sleazy as it was when he said, I'll address a topic I believe is fundamental to America's greatness, our religious liberty, that has less to do with America's greatness than just about anything else that I can imagine. America's can-do spirit has a lot to do with America's greatness, or what we used to have in the way of a can-do spirit. America's hard-working, lower and shrinking middle class that was created by organized labor has a hell of a lot to do with America's greatness, and more so than any hokum, snake oil, bogused up, dummied up, ginned up, faked up religious liberty, Willard. But then, I mean, it just gets worse and worse and worse. And then you get down to this paragraph, and dinner just starts its way back up. Almost 50 years ago, another candidate from Massachusetts explained that he was an American running for president, not a Catholic running for president. Like him, I am an American running for president. I do not define my candidacy by my... He can't even be brought in that paragraph. He cannot be brought to say the word Mormon, because his focus group has told him that he is not to mention being a Mormon, just that he's religious. Willard Romney, I was born during the presidency of John Kennedy. John Kennedy gave my generation, even though it knew him not, hope. Willard Romney, you, sir, are no John Kennedy. Let me assure you that no authorities of my church, or of any other church for that matter, will ever exert influence on presidential decisions. Say the word, Willard! Say Mormon! Say it! It's easy! You said Mormon a lot when you were dodging the draft and protecting the French from the Viet Cong, for the love of God! Say Mormon! It's okay! I don't care if you're a Mormon. I wouldn't vote for you if you were a Catholic, a Mormon, a Hindu, a Jain, a Buddhist. I would not vote for, I'd not in a box, not in a fox, not in a rain, not on a train. I will not vote for you, Willard Romney. I will not, I will not, I will not. Because you are a no good, godforsaken, shameless, motherless, godless, repig-licking. I don't give a rat's ass about your religion, Willard, so go ahead and say, I'm a Mormon. Unbutton your shirt. Show us a little bit of the magic underwear. There are people out there. It'll turn them on, dude. Oh, for pity's sakes. Let's go to the phones. I hate to keep people waiting. Let's see if this is actually a phone call. Yes, it is. Who have I got?
Bob, it's Victor Lopez.
Well, hello, Victor.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm free. That's a good thing.
That is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, and I just talked to Sarge. He called me from Phoenix. He told me I should call and say hello. And I'm
yes.
sorry I wasn't able to ever call back. The prison system sort of shut me down there.
They cracked down on you, so I was told. Yes,
they cracked down quite hard. They called me in the office and said, "Who are you planning on calling at 8 o'clock?" And I said, "Well, I was going to call radio." Show, and they said, "No, you weren't. You don't have written authorization for that." And I never got it before I left. So they didn't like that too well.
Yeah, authoritarians. What are you going to do?
Nothing much, but I didn't mean to cut in on your I'm not politically up to speed yet to make any comments, but you know where I stand on that.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and no, don't worry. I would rather talk to someone than talk to my microphone.
Okay. Well, no, and the other thing is I'm going to be now I can actually post over at unreportednews.net. Now I can actually do some work without having to write on a piece of paper and send it in.
Well, if you don't mind my asking, where are you now, Victor?
Well, right now I'm in North Carolina. I have an apartment set up here in North Carolina, a real nice apartment, actually. As I walked out, I actually got out of, I was actually flown from Puerto Rico to St. Croix, and I went before a federal judge in St. Croix, and the judge immediately released me. And I flew then from St. Croix to Miami and from Miami to Greensboro, North Carolina. And now I'm here and I'm set up and I'm still defrosting. So that's still defrosting. But I actually went out today. I went out to Social Security office to get my new card. And, I went out to a grocery store and went out and bought some shoes. So, you know, I'm starting to get out there a little bit now and I've been doing some posting and
slow and steady wins the race.
Yeah, slow. Yeah, and believe me, I'm going super slow, especially as cold as it is out here.
Yeah, that's it's a different brand of cold than anything you might be used to for the last while.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a long time, but I tell you what, I love it. I sometimes go outside just because I can. I open up the door and walk downstairs just because I can. But I'm very very fortunate because I have a great support group and. I mean, I appreciate it. You know, even when I was, I did a lot of talking to you when I wasn't on I wasn't on the air, and I really appreciated that.
It was my pleasure because it was clear that, and it remains clear to me, Victor, that you know the nature of the mistake you made, and that you want to not make it again, and that you want to move along and start doing something constructive. And I welcome you to the blogosphere. I'm sure you'll burn it up over there at unreportednews.net. And it's good to know you're out because that was a manifest injustice that was practiced on you. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, it was nasty, but you know things happen and you only hope they happen for a reason. But my first day I learned the lesson. But after nearly 5 years, boy, that was a little bit overkill. But that's all right. I mean,
I hope you know, Victor, that you are more than welcome. At headonradionetwork.com too. I mean, go over there. Anything you see.
I'm actually in the I'm actually in the room right now. I think.
I know. Yeah, I know you are. I mean, as far as posting on the blog and everything, you're welcome
to check it out. Actually, I just now found the Head On Radio. Actually, I looked at it last night, but you know, the internet is so fast now; it's unbelievable. When I came to jail, it was just getting. Moderately fast, but it's doing good. So, but I will be over there blogging then as soon as possible. I'm gonna. Oh, and I need to tell you, Bob. I'm actually enrolling for school, so I'm gonna start.
Oh, great.
January. I somehow made it to where I can make this cutoff. So, I'm gonna go and enroll. I have to get a license and a car, but it's gonna come together. I'm gonna actually get the license.
Any idea what you're gonna study, Victor?
Yeah, I'm going to study English, and I'm going to focus on journalism. I'm going to go ahead and go all the way. I'm going to polish my writing, and I'm going to try to be able to be a freelance writer, and I'm going to jump
awesome.
And pray. I have the beautiful thing of no probation, no parole, no community release.
Oh man, they just turned you loose.
Turned me loose. Well, it is in the Virgin Islands. They had, you know, in the Virgin Islands, I actually did my sentence probably 3 years ago. because I did my full term. I did the full term, actually, with the reduction. My time was reduced to 5 years from 10. So, but in the federal government, just ordered my release, and, you know, I had no commitment with the federal
government. Well, let me just ask you, were you expecting that when you got before the federal judge there? Were you expecting such a good outcome?
No, I'm going to tell you, when I went before the local judge, I went back in June, and the judge had a pin, he basically said that, I was going to be getting, he wanted to meet me in the middle because we had a territorial prosecutor that was overbearing and, could easily appeal the case and tie it up for another 5 years. And so, what he said was he thought that he would give me six, but he had to think about it, 6 years. And when I left, I was told on November 6th I'd be flying back to the Virgin Islands. I was taken back to the Virgin Islands. The judge said he considered everything and decided that he was going to give me 5 years. My attorney informed them that with my time being calculated, that would be a time served, and the judge did not object. And strangely, the attorney general didn't object for the island. And it took about 2 weeks to get myself out of federal custody. But when I went there, even up to the hearing, you know, I was shell-shocked. I didn't think I was going to be released, even though they told me I would be. And the federal judge actually said he was happy. I mean, he felt that he spoke for the entire federal court system. They were happy to see me go. I mean, they knew it was a manifest injustice. But they knew. I mean, but there's only so much you can do. So, sometimes we fall in those cracks, so yeah, I'll know better next time never to bounce a check. Matter of fact, I wouldn't care to see a check again in my life.
you know,
that's one of those things.
I don't have conversations like this very often, but my God, what an amazing attitude you manifest, Victor.
Well, I try. Well, you know, I've seen
other people could be far more bitter. You do understand that.
Well, yeah, and I know people, but you know what it is that, you know, I'm 26 years old. They already, I mean, you can look at it like this. I made a big mistake, made a huge mistake, and, but I bounced checks. I mean, I put it in perspective. Most people get probation for it. I paid dearly. But what am I going to do? I'm going to give them, another 5-10 years of my life, by being bitter. I don't think I'm going to do that. So it's just not. I don't have time to be bitter. I have things. I can't catch up even for the 5 years. It's.
Yeah, you've got an opportunity to go forward, and looking back is retrograde motion, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and it's scary. I mean, when you look back, you know, sometimes, you know, and the thing is that I'm still dealing with, weird things. You know, like when I was walking today in the grocery store, I said, wow, these people are moving awfully quick, but I'm starting to feel better, a little bit better today. You know, when you're locked in a box, like I told Mike this yesterday. I got a chance to talk to him yesterday, finally.
Oh, good.
It was like I told him, I said, sometimes I see these bright lights and the smells, and, and then it goes back to all this. A lot of people, you know, think that us Democrats, we don't care about our country, but it's the other way around. I care, even though, you know, the justice system is, it can be screwed up. But what I see is that there was a lot of Americans out here that actually give a damn. And they're the ones they're the ones that actually helped me through my time. I didn't do this by myself. I had, you know, people writing me. People care. Do you care? A lot of people care. That's important. And I want to thank those people for that, too.
Well, that yours is, I hope, the front end of a truly, truly amazing story, Victor. And I look forward to seeing and hearing your thoughts. You're welcome here on the program anytime you want. So, bear that in mind and know that you've got a home here.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. And I want everybody to know that, I intend on making everybody proud. And that's going to be, it's going to be a one day. I can't do it overnight, but I'm going to put one foot in front of the other, and I'm going to jump into this fray, and I'm not going to look back, and I'm going to try to help whoever I can, and I'm going to write to help people, and I'm going to do what I can. You know, I'm going to keep straightforward. I don't see myself tripping up, and when I do, it surely won't be like it was. That's for sure. I appreciate you a lot, Bob.
Thank you very kindly, Victor. And
I appreciate Agnes as well. I mean, that's from the bottom of my heart. And I'm sorry that I was taken off like that. I had expected to be able to call, and that the federal prison system just shut me down. They were not having it one bit. So that was That's just too bad. But oh well. Well, now I'm not calling from a federal prison, so I can call whenever I choose.
Anytime you want to, Victor. Anytime you want to, all right?
Well, thank you very much, Bob.
And I look forward to hearing from you, all right?
And you will.
Take care, and don't be a stranger in the chat room. I know you're in there now.
Absolutely not. Now I have a computer, and now everybody's in trouble. I'm going to be typing all the time.
Well, go get him, Victor.
I will. Thanks, Bob.
All right, later. Bye now. Free at last, our good friend Victor. And I was disgusted when I found out that the feds had said, no, you can't call anymore. I don't understand authoritarians. I don't understand people who get off on authority, as it were. And we'll keep the phones going. Hey,
hello.
Welcome. Yeah, hi, Juanita. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing just great.
That was a great call. I heard of him, through Mike Malloy's show and the Sarge and all, and saw some of his articles that he wrote.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's great. I was wanting to talk about the little speech today.
Sure, absolutely.
I was fortunate, just by happenstance, to have a C-SPAN on about 2 weeks ago, I guess. And they had Kennedy's speech that they were talking about today, where he spoke in Texas.
Right.
And so I was able, I watched Romney's speech, and I was able to see a big difference.
For the good or the worse?
Well, for one, Kennedy went among a bunch of vipers,
Well, that's true.
If you see that, and I urge anybody who has a chance to see it to watch it. But he stayed so polite and so calm and on the course, and they kept asking him some of the same questions over and over again in different ways. And, he was just Kennedy. He was just so wonderful. And
it's hard to watch that stuff and not tear up, Juanita,
tell me about it. Believe me. I mean, we lost our country. We really lost.
I don't think to this day we know what we lost, Juanita.
Oh, no, No, and then his brother took up the court, and then we lost Martin Luther King. I mean, we had some wonderful people, but nobody wanted all these people that wanted things their way, I was thinking about how Romney, he went into his friendly territory. But, yesterday you said something about Frank Luntz.
Yeah, the Eugene.
Advising him.
Well, no, yeah, that was Eugene Finnerman's ironic twist on Romney's propensity for being all things to all people.
And I was looking up because, around the first of the year, Frank Luntz was giving Democrats advice. Is advising us to be nice instead of being so hateful and mean.
Yeah, in other words, don't fight back like the Republicans do. Lay there and take it. Sure.
And he's the one, that helped out Newt get all his stuff in order when he.
Juanita, you're absolutely right in what you point out about the distinction between Kennedy's speech and that of Romney's. One, I don't think we should mention Willard Romney's name in the same breath. Let me take an extra one with that of John Kennedy.
Well, secondly, he mentioned it.
Yeah, oh, he did. He absolutely did.
And, the people that haven't seen it, I would encourage them to, if they could go to C-SPAN, they can go online, and look it up.
Yeah, it's there, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't watch C-SPAN like I used to because I have radio now.
Right. But, there is a profound difference because what John Kennedy did when he went to Houston to speak to the Ministerial Association there was straight out of the 23rd Psalm. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil.
Yeah.
My cup runneth over. Truly, he was sitting down at a table in the presence of his enemies.
Oh, yeah.
It's a far cry from what Willard Romney did today.
Oh, yeah. Let me say something about Willard.
Okay.
The only problem with that is that's a beautiful song, that Ben.
No, that's Ben. Willard is a different rat.
No.
See, now we're confusing Romney with different rats. We're on the way, Juanita.
But, oh my gosh, we've just had so many wonderful people come along and they destroy them, you know, they just can't stand it, you know. Oh well.
Yeah.
But I guess that's basically what I wanted to say.
Well, I understand, and sometimes it almost defies description. I sat there watching. I mean, did you see Willard's speech as well, in addition to watching Kennedy's?
Yeah, that's what I said. I watched.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Today I said, what a difference, you know.
Yeah, I was a little bit confused there.
Yeah, I did. I saw it was going to be on, and
he's just so slimy and so slick.
And he didn't
really
talk about his own religion.
Well, again, what I pointed out is very true.
You could not.
I mean, I don't think you could have taken a ball bat and beaten the word Mormon out of Willard Romney today.
Right. And I think a lot of people were wanting him to explain some of their beliefs, you know, but Lunt said not to.
Please understand that I don't know that Lunt actually did the advising. That's Eugene's very busy imagination hard at work, yeah.
Well, if he did, you know, the one thing about him is that every time I've ever seen him on C-SPAN, he goes on either on Easter or Christmas time. And he, when somebody calls and insults him, you know, tells him what's what, he said, oh, you're talking to me like that on this holy day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Okay. And what's his name again, the one that you were talking to before me? What's his
name? Oh, that's Victor. That's Victor.
Victor, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Godspeed, Victor. And, you know. That's all I can say.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Juanita, and we'll be talking soon.
Okay. You take care.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
Okay. We are on top of the news, and we'll come back with more conversation. Your conversation, your ideas, your thoughts. That's what this program is, after all about. You know the phone number. I should hope by now it should be like, you know, scorched into your brain with one of those childhood wood-burning sets or something. 877, the numeral 4, head on. 877-443-2366. That's the toll-free line. If you've got a long-distance calling plan that allows you to make unlimited long-distance calls, knock it out. Take advantage of it while you still got it. 304-658-3333 or 304-658-5453. There's all kinds of different ways to get into the program, and I certainly hope you will avail yourself of it. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. Listener-supported, progressive, independent conversation radio. Now, daggummit, too many buttons. Is the stupid thing going to hang up on me again? See, this was the part where I was running. There it is. Bumper music to talk over. I'm going to kick something one of these days. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Trucking right, I heard a dark voice beside of me, and I looked round in a state of fright. I saw four faces, one man, a brother from the gutter. They looked me up and down a bit and turned to each other. Don't you walk through my words?
silver chain. He said, I'll give you $1. I said, you've got to be joking, man. It was a present from my mother.
He said, I like it, I want it. I'll take it off your hands and you'll be sorry. You cross me, you better understand that you're alone.
This is the Quality News Network. A new White House plan to freeze subprime mortgage rates for the next 5 years, introduced by President Bush today. More than a million American homeowners faced with rising mortgage payments will have a better chance of holding on to their homes. Thousands of subprime mortgage holders have already defaulted on ballooning payments, losing their homes as a result, something which threatens to knock the U.S. economy into recession. House Democrats won passage of a wide-ranging energy bill that requires the first increase in car fuel economy standards in decades. Next, facing a tough Senate vote, the legislation would then most likely be vetoed by President Bush. The bill contains provisions that repeal tax breaks for oil companies and requires utilities to produce most of their electric power from renewable sources. U.S. negotiators attending the largest ever summit on global warming continue to reject any proposal for mandatory reductions in greenhouse gas emissions. The U.S. is the world leader in production of such gases, the U.N. conference in Bali attracting 10,000 delegates from 190 nations. A federal appeals court blocked a White House policy that allows logging and burning projects in national forests without first determining any effect on the environment. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that the U.S. Forest Service violated the National Environmental Policy Act, billed as a way to reduce wildfires. In the Pacific Northwest, state-owned helicopters and rafts continue to rescue residents stranded by heavy flooding. Power remains out in some regions. Both Oregon and Washington State declared federal disaster areas. Today's scheduled launch of the space shuttle Atlantis was scrubbed by NASA officials. Problems with two fuel gauges set back the liftoff date for another few days. Atlantis is supposed to deliver a European-built lab to the International Space Station. An Omaha, Nebraska shopping mall is closed today, where yesterday 8 people were gunned down by a teenage shooter who then shot himself. 19-year-old Robert Hawkins reportedly stole his stepfather's AK-47 rifle and smuggled it into the West Roads Mall under his sweatshirt. In Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 2 former police officers have been sentenced to more than 2 years in prison in connection with a racially charged attack featuring a group of white off-duty officers. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Remember when the name on the door said it all? In today's world, it's the website that defines a company's image. For better or worse, a company's presence on the internet is a vital factor in how it keeps existing customers and attracts new clients. Byte Technology of Monterey is a leader in a new approach to web design. Byte designs a new site based on the mission, purpose, character, and indeed the energy of their clients. Byte is particularly successful in presenting their client's name to the global internet community because they approach the design with a clear, defined process. By fully understanding the client's business, motivation, and operation, they are able to translate the company's critical values into the new website. In addition to original design, Byte works with clients to update their website to reflect changes in target markets, products and services, and the business climate. Byte Technology. See what they're about at byte-technology.com or call 831-656-9178.
Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney says his Mormon faith should not help or hinder his White House run. Speaking from Texas, Romney's comments regarding the separation of church and state were meant to reassure voters that he would not allow his religious beliefs to come before his presidential oath to uphold the Constitution. Economic researchers say a recession is looming for the U.S. economy due to a slump in consumer spending and a loss of some of the fundamentals that maintain the economy this year. An unexpected increase in October orders to U.S. factories, although some of the gain is due to higher energy prices, the Commerce Department says orders jumped by 0.5%. That's a half point better than expected. The Wall Street Journal reports three major firms, Merrill Lynch, Bear Stearns, and Deutsche Bank, have been subpoenaed by the New York Attorney General, the Attorney General's office investigating how home mortgages were divided up and repackaged to investors. Light sweet crude oil is trading at $90.23 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Gold is trading at $807.10 an ounce. Wall Street extended gains for a second day in light of the White House plan to curb home foreclosures. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 175 points to close at 13,619. And there's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
So I don't know. Is there actually a theme music, Billy Shears, to Willard? I mean, we all know about Ben, but is there a theme music for Willard? I figure if anybody knows, you do. Do we need to play that every time we mention Willard Romney? Do we need to talk about, you know, little rats and so forth every time we talk about Willard Romney? I'm sure you will get back with me on that because you're you and you're wonderful. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. We are in hour number two. And as promised, on the line with us right now, the communications director of the American Atheist, Dave Silverman, in regard to Willard Romney's speech today. Dave, you and I and many like us have been excluded from Willard's Nation of Faith. How does it feel?
Well, it's first of all, Bob, thanks for having me on the show again. I would love to tell you I'm surprised, but I'm not. You know, Mitt Romney is one of those guys. He's so good at sounding good. But when it comes right down to it, you listen to what he says, and all you get is the same old stuff. I'm open. I'm not going to bring church and state together. I just think we're a nation of faith, and we all should follow faith. And, you know, and everybody who doesn't is you know, not part of it. I wish I could be surprised, okay? But we're talking about a man who wears magic underwear. We're talking about a man who is another religious fundamentalist. And frankly, as an atheist, they're all the same to me. A religious fundamentalist to me is, they're all the same. None of them make any sense, and none of them is going to stand up for people who are not of his faith. Okay? And this is what you get from Mitt Romney. Freedom requires religion, just as religion requires freedom.
Did that just send chills up your spine like it did me?
It did. And the scary thing is that I'm remembering 8 years ago when some religious fundamentalist, obvious moron, and if you remember 8 years ago, everybody knew George W. Bush was stupid when he was elected. Everybody knew that. We were all laughing at him because he was saying such really awful, stupid things.
Insane things.
You know, Jesus wants me to be president. And we laughed at him because there was no way he was going to beat Gore. And he did. For one way or another, and let's put that aside, he did. And now we've got a man who is handsome, who is experienced, who did an unspectacular but not unsuccessful job as governor. Coming up with, it's really going to be either him or Huckabee. And the country's going to lose either way.
Are you really convinced that Giuliani is done for?
No, I'm not convinced that Giuliani is done for. In my eyes, he is. In my eyes, he is. I was personally into Giuliani for a while as a Republican because I do not like to be married to the Democrats. I'm not married to the Democrats, and I have voted Republican before. But as soon as Pat Robertson endorsed Giuliani, because Giuliani was going to give him all the judges he wants on the Supreme Court, I was done. And I think what's going to happen is that the conservatives are going to be done with him, and he's not going to play to the liberals. He's not going to play to the non-theists in this country. We've got about, 50 million people in this country now? And he's not playing to either one of us. He's actually going to, I think he's going to fizzle. I think he's going to fizzle. However, I will say, by and large, I would much rather have him than Huckabee or Romney, because, you know, at least he's got positives.
Well, how,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do understand. But what I find interesting is the development of this, or the developing assertion that apparently Giuliani and Huckabee have somehow gotten in bed together to try to destroy Giuliani in Iowa and get him out of the way once and for all.
You mean Romney and, yeah, Romney and Huckabee?
No. Giuliani, well, there were robocalls placed in Iowa that were basically push-pull calls about Giuliani that were ostensibly in favor of Huckabee, but it turns out a Giuliani operative paid for them. I mean, I guess it's a classic case of politics makes strange bedfellows. But, Dave, I'm scared. I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, he's a religious knucklehead, you know, yada, yada, yada. I am truly afraid of these people. Because when you take a statement like freedom requires religion, never mind the dependent clause that follows it, freedom requires religion, pardon me, Dave, but what's the difference between that and the utterance of some semi-literate mullah in the Middle East?
Oh, nothing. See, that's the problem. And when you're talking about religious fundamentalists, this is what I mean. You can't tell them apart. They're all 100% correct. They're all sure, and they all want freedom as long as everybody chooses to be just like them. And that's what this is all about. When Romney gets up and says freedom requires religion, and that freedom allows you to choose the religion, and that you can't have freedom, freedom and religion endure together or perish alone. Imagine the gall and the ignorance around that statement. Freedom and religion endure together or perish alone. Religion is the opposite of freedom. Religion tells you, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. This is not freedom.
Thou shalt subvert thine own conscience to my ideas of what conscience is.
It's a very scary point.
It is. I mean, I'm terrified. I'm not kidding, Dave. I'm literally terrified because... Yet every time, and I've mentioned this on the program a couple of times, every time we look up and say, you know, these people can't get any worse, and I go back to, say, Nixon. You know, we got rid of Nixon, and the nation breathed this huge sigh of relief and said, we dodged that bullet. Well, it can't get any worse than that. Well, you get Gerald Ford bumbling through the rest of Nixon's presidency. You get a little brief respite with Jimmy Carter. You know, his born-againness never scared me that much because he wasn't beating anybody over the head with it.
Jimmy Carter was fine. And you know, it's a very important point because I don't want people, I don't want your listeners to think that I have a problem with Mr. Romney because he's a Mormon. Really, I don't, although I criticize him for wearing the magic underwear, and I do think it speaks to his intelligence that he wears magic underwear. I that's not the reason that I'm so against him. The problem is that they get their power from their money, and they get that power, and they use it against us. And they use it against people who are not like them, and we've seen
But the thing is, Dave, just to expand the paradigm a little bit, when you say they use it against us, the us is not just atheists or free thinkers or skeptics or agnostics. The us is everybody that does not fall precisely within the narrow parallel lines of their belief system.
I might even expand it beyond that, because even if you do expand it, even if you do include or fall within his belief systems, you are losing the freedom of choice. Even if you're choosing what he wants you to choose, you're losing the freedom of choice. That's why freedom of religion is so paramountly important. And that's why the separation of church and state, rather, is so paramountly important to the freedom of religion. Christians suffer this, too. Every Christian out there, every Christian in this country, pays more taxes than he should pay because the Jews down the street aren't paying any. Okay, every person in this country who pays taxes pays more than they have to, without exception. And everybody is suffering because of that. And when you get a religious fundamentalist in there who can say, I'm doing this because God wants me to, I'm doing this because we're on God's side, then you have to wonder, you know, what is the difference between you and a mullah? What is the difference between you and Osama bin Laden? What is the difference between
you mentioned the Jews down the street just a second ago, Dave, and that, you know, that sends my mind to another place, because there's always a subtext with these people. It's the things that they say to each other in private that they don't say in a public stump speech in College Station, Texas, for instance, you know, because if you, you know, the Mormons, for instance, consider themselves closely aligned with the Jewish faith, so much so that they can go and ex post facto baptize dead Holocaust victims, you know, to the manifest horror of Jews around the world. But they say, you know, when they're quiet and by themselves, then they'll let on what the real game is. Then, you know, comments like you get from the Robertsons and the Falwells and so forth about Jews going to hell. And today Romney in his speech said, and this is a direct quote, radical violent Islam seeks to destroy us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm guessing that's Islam is Islam largely. How do you? I mean, they don't. There's not a special helmet logo for radical violent Islam versus peaceful law abiding Islam. It's not the religion. It's the people, I guess some would say. But when you make statements like that, that's a blanket statement.
Yeah, it's a blanket statement, and that's great if you're an activist. It's not so good if you're trying to represent people. If you're trying to be the representative for the people, and what you're seeing from this gentleman and from other gentlemen is the rampant disregard for non-Christians. And that's what we're looking at, the rampant disregard for non-Christians. They are playing to the money. They are playing to what they perceive as the majority. And the unfortunate part is, just like there are fundamentalist Muslims and non-fundamentalist law-abiding normal Muslims, there are non-fundamentalist, normal, intelligent Christians out there who follow and elect these people, even though they are anti-American people. And when it comes right down to it, that's what we're talking about. When we're talking about theocrats, when we're talking about people who want to say, oh, look, our founding fathers were all Christians, therefore we are a Christian nation. These people are not wrong. And I want to make sure that you understand this, Bob. These people are not wrong. They're lying. They know better. There's no question whether or not this is a Christian nation. It's not. It's written down. It's absolutely positive.
It's been embodied in treaties.
It's absolutely positive. Checkmate, okay? There's no way around it. There's no opinion around it. Checkmate. It's true. They ignore it because they consider their religion to be more important than their constitution. And that is treason.
That is indeed, because it's a direct violation of the constitutional provision that there shall be no religious test.
That's right. So they're ignoring that, and they're ignoring their constitution. They're ignoring the diversity. They're ignoring the things that make this country great in order to appease their religious views and their political views. And it is traitorous. And it's a shame, because we've already had somebody in this country for 8 years now who has done this, and look what he's done. Look at the shambles that this country is in right now, not just politically, but religiously.
Intellectually, scientifically, morally, culturally.
Oh,
this is a very broad sword with a very keen edge, and it has slashed through the American body politic to the point that I feel like our republic, as we near the hopeful end of George W. Bush's term, Dave, our republic is lying on the ground and bleeding from multiple wounds.
And I hate to say it, but we told you so. And we you know, to all the Christians out there, we told you so. Okay? We told you the country is the most powerful country in the world. We're talking about the most powerful man in the universe. He should be a genius. Okay? We should not elect a person because he believes in an invisible magic man in the sky, or because he doesn't. We should elect a person because he is the best person to get our country through a rough spot. And guess what? We elected a moron.
We should maintain the constitutional language that says no religious test for holding office. But perhaps we ought to amend the Constitution to include, but there shall be an IQ test to hold public office.
You know, that's not a terrible idea. I really hate to say that, but it's not a terrible idea. And I really would like to see, you know what, in a perfect world, I really just like to see the American people to be more choosy. I really would. And when it comes right down to it, the Republicans are so lost to the religious right. We have lost the Republican Party. If you look at some Republicans, if you look at Christy Whitman, who is the former governor of New Jersey and the last Republican that I voted for, she was pro-choice, pro-small government, and I liked her. Okay? She was intelligent.
And she got so far up to her neck in the slime of the Bush administration that she had to run screaming from the room.
And that's exactly what she did. That's exactly what she did.
I mean, we know now what the break point was for her. It was the humongous water fiasco in the American West that Dick Cheney rammed through, caused humongous fish kills, you know, yada, yada, yada. And that was the point at which Christy Todd Whitman said, you know, enough already.
And the scary part is that her kind, for lack of a better word, her kind are dwindling, and the bad guys, as it were, the bad guys are all over the place.
The bad guys are winning, Dave.
They're procreating, and they're multiplying, and they're having sex in airport bathrooms. And they're all hypocrites, and they're all liars, and they're all traitors, because they're all being elected to protect the Constitution, and they're ignoring it as soon as they get elected. And I'm not talking about just Republicans. Democrats do it, too.
Oh, no, no, no.
Do it, too.
Yeah, no. I don't reserve my criticism for Republicans only. It just seems like where these religious issues are concerned, we always wind up talking about them because they're the ones that take it out and literally flog it to the street. You know, contrary to the teachings of their own God, Jesus said, and I know this because I'm a recovering Southern Baptist, Dave, I know, you know, Jesus said if you need to say something to the Father, get in the closet, get it said, and get down, and get on out, and get on with life. He said the Pharisees pray and carry on in the streets, and they have their reward.
Right. And
you know, that's common sense advice as far as I'm concerned. You don't need to be a god to come up with that one.
And they ignore that, and they ignore that, and they get all up into the gay marriage thing, and they get all up, and what people don't quite understand is that gay marriage and science taught in the science classroom and school vouchers and abortion are all under the separation of church and state umbrella. They're all separation of church and state issues. Okay? There's, with rare exception, abortion is a separation of church and state issue. Stem cell research is a separation of church and state issue. But of all the political candidates, of all of them, none of them mention the separation of church and state even once on their website.
Well, in the speech of Willard Romney's today, Dave, I've scanned it. I haven't subjected it to a global, you know, like word processor search. He refers to my faith, my church. But what I said before you came on the air, you could have taken a ball bat to him today, and you couldn't have got the word Mormon out of his mouth.
No. I think he mentioned it once, but that's it. And he said that the churches, the religious leaders are not going to have any factor in how I'm going to run this country. And you just know that's a lie. I mean, come on. I mean, you just know that's a lie. Why does he do that? Are you saying that we can actually trust him to do this when he hasn't shown this in the past, when he comes out with statements like freedom requires religion? Come on. This is a lie. And this is something that we as an American people should not tolerate. One of the things that this country needs, really, my personal opinion, what this country needs most of all is a very high-ranking Republican who cares about the separation of church and state, who is actually willing to...
They'd run him out of the party, Dave.
What?
They'd run him out of the party.
That's the problem.
He wouldn't be allowed to be part of it.
That's the problem.
And I think it's been proven on a couple of occasions.
Think about the statement you just made. There can be no Republican who supports the separation of church and state. Is that really true? Can I believe that? I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, we're proud members of the reality-based community, Dave, and we try to operate by empirical evidence dutifully gathered. There's not a lot of evidence out there of that Republican that you just described. I mean, I think about Lincoln Chafee, senator from Rhode Island. The guy billed himself as a moderate, but every time you turned around, he was voting the George Bush party line, and he got tossed out on his butt. Now, he might be that kind of Republican, but there's no room for him.
It's a scary place.
And it's a scary, to be honest, it's a scary place on the Democratic side of the aisle, too, because while they don't go around flogging their Bibles like these right-wing religion industry Republicans do, you still get into questions of, do you remember how Howard Dean got beaten up for saying that Job was his favorite book in the New Testament?
Oh, yeah. The problem is that there is no Democrat out there who's really willing to take a pro-separation of church and state stance. And the reason is that they're chickens and they're hypocrites. And Hillary Clinton comes out and talks about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. John Edwards comes out and talks about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Obama hasn't killed himself yet, frankly, in my eyes. But he is talking about moments of silence in schools. And this is something that really bothers us and something that really bothers me. And what I'm afraid of is that there is no real clean advocate for the Constitution right now in politics. There's really no advocate for the Constitution.
And in this speech today, Romney took something that I think you just referred to, at least obliquely, turned it on its ear, and basically made an obscenity of it. He says, as a young man, Lincoln described what he called America's political religion. And Lincoln did talk about that. He referred to our constitutional form of government as a political religion. And Romney takes that phrase and goes on and says, when I place my hand on the Bible and take the oath of office, that becomes my highest promise to God. Well, you know what? The ceremonial putting of the hand on the Bible is one thing, but let there be no mistake. The oath that the president takes is taken with the American people as witness, and that oath is to the philosophical concept and the political concept of our Constitution. He doesn't vow to protect and defend the Bible. He is not defender of the faith. He is not the most pious president of the United States. He is the protector and defender of the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Correct.
And when Romney says something like this, Dave, and I'm not yelling at you, I'm sorry, you got me head up, brother.
That's all right.
When Romney says something like that, he is telling us, I mean, that's right-wing code, you know, and that's the tough thing about being a liberal or a progressive or a Democrat or whatever, is that a lot of us just, and I try to fight this every night on this program, a lot of us look over there and go, look at them fundies, ain't they crazy? And then we move on, but we don't understand that they're speaking in a code that they don't aim for us to understand. It means something to them that it doesn't mean to us when Romney says, my highest promise to God.
Right. But you're not making a promise to God. You're making a promise to the American people who elected you.
And those who didn't elect you, and that's extremely important. You're making that promise to the people who didn't elect you, too.
That's right. That's right. That's a very good point. And it's a scary thing, because when he talks about God giving us liberty, God didn't do anything. He doesn't exist. The people gave us liberty. And when you're trying to say that God did it and you're trying to defend God, you are merging church and state. You are edging America ever so slightly.
When George Bush wanders out there and says, freedom is a gift from God.
Right.
It's not a gift. I've got relatives in graves who gave their lives for it. And it wasn't a gift. It was fought and it was defended and it was taken and it was guarded and it was cherished, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a Christmas present.
And here he is saying, I'm going to thank, we're going to separate church and state, but we're a religious nation. All of our founding fathers served the Creator. And we thank God for our freedom. It's the exact opposite. He's a hypocrite. He does that all the time.
Well,
he comes out with two statements that are mutually exclusive.
And in this speech, you know, there's if you read it carefully, and it's always the case with these fundamentalists, there's one of those Dr. Freud white courtesy phone moments, and this is it in this speech. Americans tire of those who would jettison their beliefs even to gain the world. Well, dang. Isn't that what this speech is?
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. Oh, and by the way, my church leaders will not have anything to do with my presidency.
Yeah, and I'm not even going to mention my church unless you really force me to. I mean, he goes on two paragraphs later. He's mentioned Catholics a couple of times already. He mentions Pentecostals. He mentions Jews and Muslims. No Mormons.
No. No secular people. No atheists.
And I mean, he has to be terrified. Not, you know. And Dave, I think you'll probably give me a quick amen on this one. I don't care what people believe. I don't care what they don't believe. I have a right to be left alone. They do too. But Mitt Romney is scared to death that people will find out what goes on, what the Mormon religion is all about. He's scared to death. He's scared to death that we'll find out that they actually hold an honest-to-God belief that the Navajo are really long-lost Jews.
Yes. Yes.
He's scared to death that we'll find out he does wear magic underwear.
Yes, he does wear magic underwear.
He's scared to death that we'll find out that the Mormon Church only declared African Americans to be fully human in 1978. As well he should be, I suppose. But, you know, somehow, you know.
It's amazing how that's what I'm saying. The American public really needs to be choosy. And they need to get away from this Boolean notion that you can have a Republican or a Democrat. And one person is good or bad. There are shades of gray. And there are more important things to do than hire somebody to be the most important person in the universe because he believes in a God like you, or because he believes in a God near the God like you, or because he looks good or dresses well. We really need a genius. And we've had a complete moron for 8 years. And you know, I'm no rocket scientist myself, but I'm not running for president. For president, we need a genius. We need somebody who's really smart to get us out of the mess that we're in. And somebody who wears magic underwear ain't gonna do it.
No,
sorry if that sounds bigoted. Maybe it is. But when it comes right down to it, this is not the man. This is a man who's much more inclined.
And while we're at, Dave, Mike Huckabee is not the man either.
Oh, geez, no.
I
believe Huckabee is worse. I actually put Huckabee lower on.
Well, as a recovering Southern Baptist, I can probably agree with you.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
And that's the scary point, because the religious conservatives, the religious right, they don't have the wherewithal to elect somebody who's not a religious conservative, okay? I have in my past voted for theists, but they do not have in their capacity the ability to vote for a non-Christian, which is why the Mormons are suddenly abandoning their old mantra of being the long-lost tribe of Jews, and now they're Christians. But the problem is that if Romney loses, they're all going to go to Huckabee, and Huckabee actually believes that creationism is science and that evolution is false.
Huckabee believes the Earth is just slightly younger than the recipe for beer, Dave.
Yeah. And this is a very scary point, okay? These two people are the key to other countries thriving, because they are going to kill our education system even worse than it is, for lack of a better word. They're going to dumb down our education system. Imagine what it will be like in 20 years. When the kids who were taught that creationism is science go up against the kids from Asia and Europe who know the reality of the world, we are going to raise kids geared toward being subservient to Asians and Europeans. They are literally going to be so much better educated than we are. We are going to devolve back into a second-class nation because our education system is so poor because of people like Mike Huckabee. That's a scary thing.
It is. You know, I keep hammering that word terrifying, Dave.
Yes, it is terrifying. And I think what we're seeing, maybe what we're seeing is evolutionary. Maybe what we're seeing is the principal weakness of America, that I don't know that the religion has taken over like a some sort of a fever.
Well, I guess, you know, it can be argued that American history goes through this sort of waveform pattern. You start out with rationalists and the occasional deist and well-educated, classically trained, mostly men, who put together the structure of this government. And within a generation, you're dealing with something called the Great Awakening, which I find to be ironic in the extreme, insofar as it's not a great awakening. A great hallucinating, a great passing out, when religious fervor spreads across the land and very few people are able to stand up against it, and it rises and falls in that tide. But we are at a point, I think, Dave, where we can't afford to be on the low end of that waveform, because it will prove to be terminal to us.
It will, and it's a very, very scary point. And there is some good news in today's news. I don't know if you know this, but the new Harris poll is out.
Oh, no, I haven't seen.
And the new Harris poll says that somewhere along the line, if you combine atheists and agnostics in this country, we're close to 25%.
You're kidding.
Yeah, 25%, which is a quarter of the nation, which is right around 70 million people, between 50 and 70 million people, depending on how you count us. And that's a lot of
people. Well, gosh, that's as many as the so-called values voters and maybe some more.
Yeah, the problem is they don't vote. They don't vote. They're a skeptical group. They don't think their vote will count. And as a result, their vote doesn't count because they don't vote. Yeah, if the skeptical people in this country voted, we would take over. There's no way around that. We would take over. We would win. The good news is that I think my thoughts are around this growth in secularity, for lack of a better word again, is that it's not going to turn around. I think the secular nature of the world is growing. I think the increase in information availability due to the Internet is not going to go away. And I think that we are seeing the last throes of religion. I really do. I think that in 20 years, you and I are going to have a radio show, and we're going to be real happy. I think we are. But the problem is, between here and 20 years, the religion might damage and or destroy this country.
Or the planet.
As secular people.
Or the planet, Dave.
Or the planet. Isn't that a scary thing to say? Or the planet.
We are at crux.
As citizens, it is our responsibility as Americans, and it is our responsibility, I guess you're right, as earthlings, to protect this country and this planet from people who know little and talk well and have a lot of money.
Well, let me ask you on a broader foot. Yeah, you've sort of gone off into a, and I'm glad you did. God, I'm loving this conversation.
it's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I feel a lot better than Sean Hannity.
Oh, dear. Have you had to deal with him?
Yeah.
Dude, how did you, on the same set, Dave? Or like,
yeah,
were
I've done Hannity and Combs a few times, and he's all right off camera.
Well, I know, but I just want to know one thing. I mean, do you, like, have to suck up a bunch of air and then run on stage because the hairspray fumes from Sean Hannity will drop you like a rock? Or, I mean, how do you deal with it?
You want to know a good story? I'll tell you a good Sean Hannity story.
All right.
Did Hannity and Combs once, and Sean wasn't there, so they had Oliver North coming in by a satellite for the conservative side, and I was sitting in Sean Hannity's chair, and during the commercial break, I farted in Sean Hannity's chair and told Combs to tell Hannity I said hello.
That's beautiful. That's just beautiful.
Yeah, funny. I hope, you know.
It's a Head-On Radio Network exclusive.
Yeah, so next time you look at him on the chair, next time you look at him on TV, you know that the chair he's sitting in, you know what I did in that chair.
God love you. Or not, you know. Let me do run you real quick. We've run past the time that you said you'd be on the air, and I apologize for keeping you so long, but I don't get conversations like this very much. Let me take you to a slightly more philosophical point. You mentioned the growing number of skeptics, non-believers, untheists. But in terms of humanity, you know, the reason they reach out for religion is largely, at least in my opinion, Dave, not because there are people who are concerned with, you know, the great theological questions, but largely because human culture is such that it tends to isolate us and it preys upon our fears. And people, no less so than a proto-hominid falling out of the tree in the dark when the lions were praying, were prowling on the grounds. We are afraid, Dave. How existentially, how can absent a sky father or an earth mother or a flying spaghetti monster, how can people deal with that existential fear without that magical BS?
Well, I've been doing it fine for a while. When it comes right down to it, yeah, you're exactly right. The principal basis of all religion is fear of death, okay? If you look at, and I believe this is 100% true, that all religions that have ever involved any sort of a deity have also involved an immortal afterlife, a sense that you will not die. They've all involved that. Whether there's a heaven or a hell, some religions differ, but they've all involved an afterlife. And that's why, so I believe you're correct that religion is based on fear. People choose the religion that they're in because they're indoctrinated into it, which is why Mitt Romney said, I'm a Mormon, or my faith is my father's faith. He doesn't defend his faith because it's true. He defends his faith because it's what he was born into. But how do people deal with the fact that, and that's where you're going, how do people deal with the fact that they're going to die?
Well, that would seem to be the center of it.
That's it. That's all it is. And you know what? You are going to die. Everybody's going to die. And after death, there is nothing. And we won't remember it. And we won't care. And we won't feel any pain. And we won't feel any happiness. And when it comes right down to it, we were there forever before that, before this life of ours. How do people deal with it? Well, I deal with it fine. I have a 10-year-old daughter. She deals with it fine. I think the reason that people are so enamored with the concept of immortality is because they're taught it from such a young age. People say, oh, well, people tell me every once in a while, oh, if I didn't have my religion, I'd be an animal, because without my religion to keep me straight, without my fear of God, I'm a sinner and I would do bad things. Well, that's because you're taught in the beginning that
you're bad.
That you're bad. And you're taught from the beginning to rely on this mythology in order to get you through it. I think if you're taught from the beginning to deal with reality as it is, I think you'll get through it just fine. I mean, I don't stay up awake at night wondering about death. I hate the concept. I don't want to die. I want to live forever, just like everybody wants to live forever. I think everybody wants to live forever. But it doesn't mean it's true. And once we get past that point, once we get to the point where we aren't indoctrinating our children to have this religion as this crutch to lean on, or this blindfold to protect us from the sight of our own mortality, I think we'll be just fine. And I think that there are 50 to 70 million people out there in this country alone who've accepted it just fine and don't expect to live on ad infinitum with the invisible magic man in the sky.
And it's also, it's also a charge upon your daily life, isn't it, Dave? Insofar as when it's over, it's over. There's no dress rehearsal. Get it done now.
Dress rehearsal.
Do it right now, because that will be the mark of your success or failure.
And that's the only immortality that you get, Bob. The only immortality that you get is the ripple that you leave behind in the water of life. Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, write that one down, would you?
That's all you get. You know, I mean, if you put a ripple in the water, it goes on forever until it hits something. And the ripples that we leave are the only immortality that we're ever going to have. And if we sit down, if we pray, if we pretend that this is just a dress rehearsal, as you put it, if we pretend that everything is going to be, that we're going to live forever and that we really don't have to work so hard to save this planet, to save this environment, because the rapture is coming and we're all going to die anyways, and who cares, and it's all part of God's will, and God's in control. Well, we lose control, and chaos takes over.
And yet we have proven time and again that we do have control of the planet. Look at the problems we have with the climate now. The invisible marshmallow cloud guy didn't do that. We did that. And we
did that.
And that's,
and
you know, that's an, that's the obverse of the coin, isn't it, Dave? That we have being rational and being personally responsible. You know, the right wing and the religion industry likes to talk about personal responsibility. What you're talking about is the ultimate personal responsibility, Dave, in owning up to what humanity does to itself, to what humanity does for itself, and what humanity does to the planet. We have created the current climate crisis. And we are the only ones who are going to take a hand in dealing with it.
Amen. And I don't say that very often.
You know, I can't help but think, and I wouldn't do this to many guests on this program, but everything you say reminds me of Percy Bysshe Shelley's poem Ozymandias, where he says, "I met a traveler from an antique land who said, 'Two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that its sculptor well those passions read which yet survive, stamped on these lifeless things the hand that mocked them and the heart that fed, and on the pedestal these words appear, My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. Nothing beside remains. Round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away."
Ooh. Man, I just got chills.
Yeah, it does the same thing for me every time I read it.
I just got chills.
Yeah, because, you know, because of the irony of it. You know, these monuments that are set up by puny humankind. And I don't mean puny as in comparison with some cloud critter. I mean puny as in comparison with the size of the universe.
Yes, or the size of the planet.
And we say, ooh, look at me. Ooh, look at me. And in the end, it all comes to the same end. It's a breath out and not a breath in.
That's exactly it. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But when it comes right down to it, before the ashes and before the dust, we can do something. We can fix this, and we can arrange it so that our offspring and our offspring's offspring can live well. We can do it. Just have to stop praying and start doing.
Well,
and
work.
We have to stop electing people who will pray instead of do, and we have to stop electing people who would see this country perish rather than allow freedom to reign and allow people to take a different to take a different path than theirs.
I've got several places in this studio, Dave, that have little dents, like in door facings and things like that, and I've had a lot of bruised toes because I've gotten to the point where every time a tragedy strikes in America, such as happened in Omaha yesterday, and George Bush steps to the podium and says, "I want you to know that we're giving you our prayers." Well, you know what? They don't need prayers. They need an army of grief counselors.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it makes me go over and kick the door again.
And of course, the reason that Omaha happened is because we don't have prayer in schools. And we don't have a Ten Commandments monument in front of the mall where it happened. If we did, God would not have lifted his protection barrier and allowed this to happen.
Yeah, just like with the jets on 9/11. Oh, my heavens.
Please give me money.
Just
give me money and power. And this is the man who Rudy Giuliani is now endorsed by. And these are the people who are running in the Republican Party. I wish that the Republicans out there would... who are not religious fundamentalists would step up louder and step up and speak up harder. And I truly, truly hope that any Democratic candidates out there take a real stand on the separation of church and state. Come and open your mind to the fact that without the separation of church and state, religious freedom dies. And we can fix it, and we can keep it, and we can repair this country, and we can repair this world. But we have to know where you stand for real, and we're not going to vote for you. I can speak for me, and I can speak for a lot of other people. No endorsement here. But I can tell you that secular people are really getting tired of people just claiming to be religious, ignoring the major issues.
Yeah, because they feel like they have to throw that cultural bone.
What?
They have to throw a cultural bone to the mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking crowd.
Well, you know what? It's time to throw a bone to the brainiacs out there too.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
It's time to throw a bone to us.
Well, we will wrap up then, Dave. Let me ask you this question, and that is, Is there anything that you, your organization, other free-thinking organizations can or will do to try to motivate those people in their millions to stand up for common sense, to stand up for basic human decency, to stand up for a rejection of religious hatred, and most importantly, to get their rational butts to the polls and vote?
You know, we at American Atheists are trying to do everything that we can, and you, Bob, are trying to do everything that you can as well, and we're both doing a very good job at getting these people to come out of the closet. I don't know if the amount of atheism in this country has increased, or if it's simply the amount of people who are willing to call themselves atheists that has increased. Either way, it is a good trend. Either way, whatever we're doing is working. Either way, whatever we're doing is going to have a positive impact. American Atheists is one of several major non-religious organizations in the country that are trying to get people to come out and speak up. There are also two good political action committees out there where people can, I don't want to mention them by name because I don't want to tread on 501c3 issues, but there are political action committees out there that concentrate on getting people out there to admit and come clean on their secularity, for lack of a better word. I say that a lot. We're doing the best we can. We need money. We need support. We need...
Now you're preaching to the converted.
Yes, I know this. and I know this. But, and you know what? If I have to preach to the converted, let me say this. To the people out there that are listening to the show who are atheists, there is no such thing as being too far out of the closet. There is no such thing as being too loud about your atheism. If you're an atheist or an agnostic, my personal opinion is there's really no difference at all between the two. But really, everybody needs to know who and what you are. It's time. It's time to come out of the closet 100%. Your family, your friends, your coworkers need to know you are what you are. When you go, and it's a great thing that I tell people to do, is to volunteer to work with your political candidates, your local and your national political candidates, but make sure everybody knows you're a secular person. Wear a God with a line around it pin. Do something to make sure that everybody knows that you're an atheist and that you're helping. The reason that anti-atheism exists, the reason that an AOL poll today said that 60% of the country would not vote for an atheist, the reason that's happening, the reason that has been happening, is because people don't know atheists when they see them. If people see atheists, they will associate friendly faces with the word, and the perception of atheists will skyrocket. And it is skyrocketing, as you can see. 8% to 24 or 25% in 10 years, that's a skyrocket. Okay? We're flying.
Yeah.
We have to keep doing. We have to use this momentum. We have to take advantage of this momentum, because this is how we take back our country from people like Mike Huckabee and Magic Underwear Mitt.
And one of the things that you just alluded to, Dave, is so very, very true, and that is that people who are free thinkers, agnostics, atheists, secularists, all these labels, I call them normal people,
I call them atheists. You know, if somebody asks you if you believe in God and your answer is no, you're an atheist. It doesn't matter if you think there is a God, or it doesn't matter if you are sure there is no God or are not sure there is a God, or it doesn't matter how you phrase it. It doesn't matter. It's an irrelevant point. The whole separation that comes from I'm an agnostic, you're an atheist, you're a free thinker, all of that all helps the religious right, because the Mormons are calling themselves Christians. They're not.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
They're not.
Yeah.
But we have the exact opposite problem. We have people saying, oh, I'm not an atheist, I'm a free thinker, I'm a humanist. But everybody is calling themselves Christians, even the Mormons, who aren't Christians.
And we've got Jews for Jesus.
Yes. You see that the...
Oh, no. Wow, did you... No, you just pulled the string on a really bright light, Dave.
There. They're unifying.
And these people have got to learn to vote with their dadgum wallets, what you just said a little bit ago. Because the reason that the religion industry has the sway that it has is that there are millions and millions of credulous, gullible people who literally will sign the backs of their Social Security checks and send them to Dr. Dobson, or doctor, you know, he couldn't put a Band-Aid on without killing somebody, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, I'm a doctor.
So am I. or Falwell or any of these other creeps, Oral Roberts, those millions of tax-free dollars are what funds this political, can we call it anything except a coup, David? I mean, it's a coup, right?
That is what it is, yes. It has been a coup.
And it comes tax-free, and, you know, for instance, you guys are a 501c3. You're tax-exempt. You are, the people who give to you can write it off on their taxes, too.
Yes, they can. We are tax-free. You can write off your donations to us. We do not tell you that you'll go to heaven if you give us 10% of your income, but you will. So give us 10% of your income.
You know, that's one of the things that just jumped all over me. There's a news story out today, a post on the blog at headonradionetwork.com. Now, Creflo Dollar and Benny Hinn have announced their patent refusal to participate with Senator Charles Grassley's investigation of the televangelist religion industry.
What a surprise.
Can you imagine
if these guys
were actually public companies, they would be run out of town on a rail and they would be in some prison making large rocks into smaller rocks because it is an open fraud.
Yes.
And you cannot do open fraud in the American business community, at least.
And you know what, you actually touched on something. You said we're a 501c3 organization, and we are, but we're not the same status as a church, okay? We have to support our 501c3 status every year. We have to declare our income every year. We have to defend our 501c3 status every year. If you're a religious institution or if you're a Creflo Dollar or a Benny Hinn, by the way, these people are professional liars, and I say that openly, and I dare them to sue me about it, okay? If these people had to do what we do, they would never be able to support themselves.
So what you're telling me is you and Ellen Johnson don't have a couple of Rolls Royces and Gulfstream 5.
No, what I'm telling you is that I don't make any money at all from American Atheists. I'm a volunteer.
Wow.
I do this because I believe in it. There's no money in this at all for me, and Ellen Johnson is not a rich woman by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not morally allowed to divulge her salary, but I do have an idea of what it is, and it's pathetic.
And it doesn't, and it doesn't involve Rolls Royces and Gulfstream 5s, or
it doesn't even involve a new Toyota, man.
You know that, and again, you know, I say that by counterpoint because Creflo Dollar has two Rolls Royces, a Gulfstream 5, and you know, three or four mansions.
Amazing, huh? But they haven't committed any tax fraud.
And they haven't done anything for their money.
No, they haven't done anything. Except take it from gullible people who could use that money to do something.
Who live their lives in fear and spend their money buying tickets out of hell and into heaven.
Isn't that something?
Well, from my standpoint, it makes me want to weep, Dave.
It does. It does. They're criminals. They're criminals. They're professional liars. I dare them to sue me. I dare them. They're liars. I dare them.
Well, I'll join you in that and then sue us both.
Hmm. Wonderful.
Dave Silverman, thank you so very much. I've kept you much longer than I should have, but what a joy this conversation was.
I love this radio show. It's a pleasure to be on the show. I really appreciate you having me on, and you can call me anytime.
Well, thank you, Dave. I think we will. And folks who want to keep up with what you guys are doing can go to the website at
www.atheists.org. That's atheists.org. Or if you wanted to talk about this show specifically, you can go to the blog, nogodblog.com, and we actually have a front and center posting right now for this specific show.
Well, please let the bloggers, the passersby, your visitors, your friends, your members, please let them know that this is a haven for common sense, would you, Dave?
I certainly will.
All right. Dave Silverman, take care.
It's wonderful to have such a haven.
This has just been a blast. I hope we'll do it again soon.
I sure we will. Thanks a bunch, Bob.
Yes, indeed. Bye now.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Dave Silverman, American Atheists. If only we had politicians that were that forthright and that honest. We are at news time, and we'll be back after the news with your phone calls to 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on, or 304-658-5453. Mm, that might not be it. I'm having a tough time tonight. There it is. This is listener-supported, independent, liberal conversation radio. This is The Horn.
This is the Quality News Network. House Democrats won passage of a wide-ranging energy bill that requires the first increase in car fuel economy standards in decades. Next, facing a tough Senate vote, the legislation would then likely be vetoed by President Bush. The bill contains provisions that repeal tax breaks for oil companies and requires utilities to produce most of their electric power from renewable sources. A new White House plan to freeze subprime mortgage rates for the next 5 years, introduced by President Bush today. More than a million American homeowners faced with rising mortgage payments will have a better chance of holding on to their homes. Thousands of subprime mortgage holders have already defaulted on ballooning payments, losing their homes as a result, something which threatens to knock the U.S. economy into recession. U.S. negotiators attending the largest ever summit on global warming continue to reject any proposal for mandatory reductions in greenhouse gas emissions. The U.S. is the world leader in production of such gases, the U.N. conference in Bali attracting 10,000 delegates from 190 nations. A federal appeals court blocked a White House policy that allows logging and burning projects in national forests without first determining any effect on the environment. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that the U.S. Forest Service violated the National Environmental Policy Act, billed as a way to reduce wildfires. In the Pacific Northwest, state-owned helicopters and rafts continue to rescue residents stranded by heavy flooding. Power remains out in some regions. Both Oregon and Washington State are declared federal disaster areas. Today's scheduled launch of the space shuttle Atlantis scrubbed by NASA officials. Problems with two fuel gauges set back the liftoff date for another few days. In Milwaukee, Wisconsin, two former police officers have been sentenced to more than 2 years in prison in connection with a racially charged attack featuring a group of white off-duty officers. Out of 8 officers charged in the attack, 5 were convicted and given prison sentences. And an agreement has been signed between the Pentagon and U.S. State Department, giving the military more oversight over private security contractors such as Blackwater. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We'll be back after this message.
Looking to find the best in the USA? Come to Boulevards.com. We're the best address in city guides across the U.S. For the best information in travel, Boulevards.com gives you the most up-to-date choices for the best in dining, hotels, entertainment, adventure, and exciting tips to make your holiday the best it can be. Whether you're a local or just looking for great getaway tips, go to Boulevards.com and get the best. Be independent of search engines. Make your choices. We're Boulevards.com. Come visit us at SanFrancisco.com, SanJose.com, Carmel.com, WashingtonDC.com, PaloAlto.com, Seattle.com, Oakland.com, SanAntonio.com, Denver.com, and many more. We are Boulevards.com, the best in your visiting the USA. Come visit us at Boulevards.com.
In Uganda, there are reports of an outbreak of a new strain of the deadly Ebola virus. At least 70 people have been infected with the highly contagious, nearly always fatal disease. In central China, 70 miners are dead. Another 26 remain trapped underground due to an explosion in a state-owned coal mine. China operates the most dangerous mines in the world. More than 3,000 workers killed so far this year. In the Philippines, 14 Muslim militants have been sent to prison for life in connection with the abduction of a group of tourists back in 2001. Five hostages were killed then, including one American. The U.S. suspects the group is linked to Al-Qaeda. Sotheby's Auction House broke all records for the amount of money paid for both a sculpture and an antiquity. An anonymous buyer paid more than $57 million for a tiny limestone carving of a lioness dating back to ancient Mesopotamia. And gunmaker Smith & Wesson posted a second quarter profit of nearly $3 million, or 7 cents a share. That's up slightly from 1 year ago. Light sweet crude oil trading at $90.23 a barrel. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 175 points to close at 13,619. NASDAQ up 42 points. The S&P 500 up 22. And there's more on our website at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Wow. That was like an ice-cold shot of Aquavit or something. You know, the fact of the matter is, if I could have conversations with guests every night that were like the one I just had with Dave Silverman, I'd do a lot more of them. What a joy that was for me. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I very, very much did. And, you know, I can't say enough for the validity and the honesty of the position that Dave brings to these issues. I don't, you know, and I think, look, don't care what your religion is, don't care what Romney's religion is, or Dave Silverman's, or non, or if, or when, or where. But if it's going to be the basis upon which we choose, literally the most powerful man in the universe, as Dave Silverman referred to him, we got trouble in River City, as the saying goes. And also, as the saying goes, we go to the phone, and our good friend David is calling from Maine. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I just wanted to speak something on atheism that kind of got to me a little bit. Well, it didn't get to me, but I have issues with, let's say.
Okay.
He said, after you die, there's nothing else, and I'm certain of that. To me, I don't know, that right there is like just giving a raw meat to anyone who thinks they're spiritually inclined. I guess what I would say to Mr. Silverman is the fact that nobody can be certain about anything, and nobody knows what is really happening at the moment we are presently at. So it's anybody's guess. And everybody could be possibly right in the end.
But see, there's no rational basis for that.
Which is what segues into my next
Well,
I mean, what he also said is that you have been part of this universe all along and that you will continue to be part of this universe after you are done being whoever you are.
Right. Well,
and that is provably true.
Well, I mean, what's irrational to someone is irrational to someone else. But what I'm saying to you is when someone is certain about something and someone certainly dictates to you, points to you and says, you will, I don't know that. I don't know for myself. And I don't know for anyone else. But see, that to me is kind of like, I hate to say it, but that's why a lot of spiritual people, it's a turnoff to them. And I guess what I would say to Silverman is the fact, why is it people that do that? Why is it people that hold on to that? And I don't think it's because they want to live forever, a lot of people, as in the case with the guy from Omaha or whatever. I think the thing it mostly deals with is the fact that they're just searching for something that is right with them.
Something that will assuage their aloneness.
In their spiritual compass. That's all. And I mean, I understand why, and to me, this is the problem. This is why atheism falls apart for me in a lot of ways. Because a lot of times, someone will be talking about, and they'll get so heated up with fervor and passion, that they don't realize that there's something more to just what they're spiritually thinking than just that. It's therapy for someone. And I'm sorry if he doesn't. I'm sorry if Mr. Silverman doesn't understand that. But that's why we have that. That's why so many people are like that. If they didn't have that, I'm sorry, but a lot of people have to hear this. If they didn't have that, they'd be nothing. The lights would be turned out.
But that is. But David, that is a function of them, and not of the saving power of religion.
Oh, I know. But see, that's what brings to them in a lot of ways, and that's the only way it can for now. Those other doors and other avenues will open, is what I'm saying, Bob. But for now, that's what has to be. At this moment we're in right now, there has to be the mega churches. I know. I don't like them either. Has to be the mega churches. You have to have those spiritual snake revivals, all of that. And you have to have your Huckabees. And I've talked to people like this, and I understand exactly why it is. And I understand why they eventually... A lot of them go a little bit off the deep end and mad, and then I think to myself, okay, what would I do? What would I do if I had a basis for a mouthpiece of building up? Eventually, I would lose control. Eventually, I wouldn't know how to communicate with millions and millions of people without sounding a bit mind controlish and cultish. I mean, that's just the inevitable of it all, Bob.
But see, I really, and you know, I'm not trying to be mean or disagreeable or anything. I mean, I think this is the, yeah, I love it that we can have disagreement without acrimony here. That's where I disagree with you. I don't believe we have to. I don't believe that there's anything organic or evolutionary in the rise of these megachurches outside of a profoundly dedicated, obsessive, compulsive urge to make fabulous amounts of ill-gotten lucre off of the credulous and the gullible.
I know, Bob, and that's what it seems like. But you know, to me, it's like life.
See, for me, it's not what it seems like. It is what it is.
No. I mean, and I could spin this around, Bob, and I could turn the tables completely, and I could say what Mr. Silverman is doing is going to develop and morph into the very thing that he hates about Christianity. I'm sorry, but that's what happens when you put ideologies out there and you put them out louder and louder and louder.
But that's the thing. Atheism isn't an ideology. That's one of the favorite canards of the religious right, is that atheists are just as dogmatic as, you know, Presbyterians. No, they're not.
What I'm saying is it could develop along those lines. It's the same thing that happened to Christianity. It'll be the same thing, because that's just the nature of how we are as people. We want everything to be a certain, we want to live in this pattern. This pattern has to be it. But to me, like I said, I see life, to me, life is like a Jackson Pollock painting. Every piece that is there right now is there, and I accept it. Doesn't mean I like it, Bob. Doesn't mean I like it. It's there, and I accept it, and I find something out of it that I can
make. Oh, with that, I absolutely agree, because if you're gonna live in a real world, you have to deal with the realities of that world.
I agree with you, but like I said, when people push the line of what I hear on the radio of in terms of atheism and what it is their beliefs, and the louder and louder it gets in terms of there is no God and there is no this and there is no that, to me, that's just another case of cult of personality. You
but they don't. But,
right.
But David, you're launching from a false supposition, and that is that atheists have beliefs. They don't. The very nature of a rational person who is an atheist is that they don't do the believing game. They do the knowing game. They do the fact game. They operate with their brains and not their hearts, because religion is in the so-called heart. And it's predicated on the willingness to believe stuff that cannot be in any wise proven.
Well, to me, it's the I believe that I'm right symptom. They may not believe in a deity or any of that, but it's the I believe I'm right. And to me, again, it just strikes me as
contradiction. It's a concept that's hard to grasp, and it was elucidated very well by Sam Harris in his books, An End of Faith and his book Letter to a Christian Nation. And that is, to one extent or another, there is not a single person on this planet who is not an atheist. Ask Governor Huckabee about Islam, and he will tell you that there's not a word of truth in it, that it's spiritually wrong, it's heretical, it's yada, 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 yada. Guess what? Reverend Huckabee is an atheist with regard to Islam. Ask Mitt Romney about the spiritual truths of Buddhism, and he will tell you that, nope, sorry, that's not it. It's wrong, it's a heresy, yada, yada, yada. Mitt Romney is an atheist with regard to everything except his very narrow belief system. And again, I can't help but emphasize the word belief. These are not knowable facts. So, you know, atheists who reject all of these things, because, you know, they all say, we've got it right, and if you don't believe what we believe, you're going to roast. Every last one of them, to one degree or another, says that, David.
I know, but
an atheist makes a rational choice to have nothing to do with any of it.
And I understand that, but when I hear on the radio, Bob, and that he's not the first person, what I hear on the radio is I hear a lot of people, and what it comes up to me is, I'm right and you're wrong, and that's just human nature. That's the way, I'm serious now, that's the way a lot of people direct their organizations, and they put it out there, and that's simply what I have a problem with. And it's like, this is all garbage, this is all nonsense, and I'm right, and you're wrong, and the pedestal just keeps getting higher and higher. And that's why I keep saying, everybody, no matter what they say, no matter how sickening or disgusting you think, they are. They've inspired something in this collage called life. And to say, I don't want nothing to do with this or that, I mean, I hate to say
But he didn't say that, David.
I know, but what I'm saying is,
you know, he didn't say, he said, you know, he would vote for a theist or a non-theist for elected office, but he would not choose to make that vote based upon some religious test, but rather upon the presumably demonstrable ability of that individual to do the job for which he or she was running.
The tone when someone has with spirituality, and when someone comes out and voices what they're saying, to me, you can always tell when someone wants to be right, so immediate. And he had it in his voice from the minute he was on. And that's just what I got from it. I'm sure a lot of other people got from it. And here's the thing. I'm not tied to any religion, and I'm not tied to, and I don't even like to would tie myself to atheism. I don't tie myself to any of that. I'm just telling you, when you put it out there and you voice out what it is, and whatever it is you're saying, and you come across as this is it, I'm right. I think it's another case of the pot calling the kettle black. After a while of that, it's just the pedestal keeps getting higher and higher and higher, and shouting louder and louder. And that's exactly what happened to every kind of ideology or any terms of thinking or thought
when you tie an organization to it. That's, to me, that's just what happens.
It's tough, David. I mean, I've got a comment here asking, how are atheists supposed to sound? There are two outlets for atheist thought, as opposed to how many thousands of electric Jesus outlets?
I understand,
understand Dave Silverman's militancy, and in fact, I honor it, because it is. I think it was on the horn section last week. I said to Peter Godbold, because you know he talks about LGBT issues. I remarked that there are all kinds of closets, and you know, one of the things that Dave said a few minutes ago was he was imploring. People, skeptics, agnostics, atheists, whatever, to come out of the closet and quit being beaten down by these people who insist that they ascribe to some invisible cloud critter or sky god or earth mother or crawling snake on its belly god, or you know, the sun in the sky is a god, or you know, some piece of quartz crystal is going to translate the energy of the universe. Just come out and say, I don't buy none of it. Because when that does happen, when the rational people begin to tire, and see, we're hogtied, David. Because if you say something like that, immediately somebody who is all so-called faithed up will say, "Well, you're being demeaning to my faith. You can't do that. You have to respect my faith." Well, they don't respect my lack of it. Screw them.
Yeah, and that's what creates the conflict, and I just think...
Well, there's going to be conflict. There can't not be conflict. One side is going to win in this battle, and one side is going to lose, and if the religion industry wins this fight,
I don't know about that, Bob.
We're done. We're screwed.
I don't know about that. What you just said to me, there's an absolute to this? I don't see that.
Sure there is. There is a woman, a perfectly nice woman that you would be tickled to death to have for your next-door neighbor, and she lives in Texas, and she just got fired from her job as the Texas State Supervisor of the Science Curriculum. She was fired for her job for sending along an email that promoted a coming lecture by someone who said creationism is a bunch of baloney.
I just think we all go through shifts of ideology, and that's just,
how
everything is.
But while you're being, forgive me, David, while you're being tolerant, they're sharpening the knives that they're going to use on your throat and mine and everybody who isn't just like them. And once they've done all of us, they'll turn on each other.
Well, you know, Bob, I tend to believe, and it's the same thing where people who try to goad me on with the environmental issues and all of that, it just seems to me like there's this constant pressure, and it's almost a scare tactic type of mentality. I understand where people are coming from with that, but I just don't see that happening to myself. I cannot physically see anyone attacking my faith or belief system or whatever it is I believe.
They may not, David, because they're not there yet, but they're on the road. And if you have children or grandchildren, it won't be you, it'll be your children or grandchildren. All the more reason to fight all the harder now before they get to the point where they can.
I have to agree to disagree on a lot of what you said, but I do agree with voicing out and saying what you're saying. But at the same time, I just think that nobody owns the blueprint to what is truth.
Well, no, because truth in itself is a fluid term. That's why these religion industry hucksters like to talk about truth. You never catch them talking about facts. They're always talking about truth, because truth is what they make the truth to be. So you're absolutely right. There is no lock on truth, but there is a lock on facts. And that's why I try to be fact-driven.
Well, when it comes to spirituality and life and death and the existentialism of it all, I don't think we can really, there's a lock on that. And what Silverman was talking about, a lot of times I just felt myself just shaking my head going,
I don't think anyone coming out and saying. See, to me, when he said a tone of certainty, there's nothing that happens when. That to me is like the big turnoff where everyone's like, "Wow, that's a buzzkill. That's a joy kill. That's where our mentality is right there." And I'm sorry, but to me it comes off as.
But can you not subject that to empirical proof? I mean, can you not? Can you not take an unembalmed core? I mean, to say nothing happens is probably technically untrue, because you can take an unembalmed corpse and you can leave it lay in the hot sun, and you're going to see all kinds of things happen. You're going to see little maggots crawling out of the skin. You're going to see birds coming down from the sky to consume the eyeballs. You're going to see all kinds of stuff. Things are going to happen.
Well, Bob, that is to say, if what we're seeing, again, that's real. And if this is real, and if all that is real, if that's that, to accept that premise. But what I'm saying is, I just don't know. I'm not willing to just sign on the dotted line and say it's all concrete. This, that.
I understand that, David. But yeah. By the same token, with all these religions, your "I don't know" is not enough. You have to subscribe specifically to what they say you have to believe. With Mitt Romney, you have to, you know, do the temple ceremony. You have to become a whatever. You have to put on the magic underwear. With another religion, you know, you gotta do this or that, or you gotta promise never to wear a little latex thingy over your whatsits, or let, you know, your girlfriend use the pill. Or there's a religion where you gotta walk along a wall and spin little wheels, and you know, if you don't, you know, you're not part of the party.
Well, you know, Bob, before I go, I want to mention one thing. I agree to disagree with you on a lot of these different points, and I think that's the nature of it all. And the other thing was, I was going to say, if that does come to pass, I'm a really good satirist, and I don't think they would ever catch on that I wasn't into Christianity. I fooled a lot of preachers. and before I go, to show people what we're talking about in terms of Romney, I just wanted to say this. I don't know if Billy Shears probably didn't say it, but Willard, what you mentioned, Willard. This is going to make you go, "Oh my God, Bob!" But it's one of those moments. I didn't know his name was Willard, but this is hilarious because Crispin Glover. For those people who don't know who Crispin Glover is, that's George McFly from Back to the Future.
Right. That's Karate.
All right.
Yeah.
Now you're ready for this one, Bob.
Yeah.
His claim to fame, his cult movie. I don't know why they cast him. This is another mystery. He's like a big crystal meth head in Hollywood and real existentialist type of surrealist into like all of the art house type thinking. He was in a movie called Willard where he commanded the control of rats.
Oh, that was yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Willard and Ben and Socrates and the that's that movie. Yeah. Willard. Only I think it was a remake.
Oh, it was a remake.
Yeah, because this is a film from I don't know how old he is, but the original movie is from the early 70s, I think.
Now that does.
And it in its own right is a cult classic. And Willard is a reclusive individual who lives in a mansion with his mother. Yeah, you know, sort of Norman Batesy when you get right down to it.
Yeah.
His only friends are the rats that run through, and he makes special friends with one called Socrates and another that is extremely large and unusually, you know, almost like something out of The Princess Bride, you know, a rodent of unusual size. Named Ben.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that will be it for this evening. And one last thing. I hope you like the American Drug War.
That one's on the playlist for the weekend. I'm definitely, the trailer was intriguing. So
yeah. Well, it is Kevin Booth and, you know, Sacred Cow. They don't, you can't go wrong with their production.
No, you can't. David, thanks very much. I enjoyed the discussion.
No problem, Bob.
You take care now.
Later.
Bye. And if you want to call in, that's fine. We got lines open. If you're on hold now, please stay that way. We'll be back after a musical interlude. This is America's liberal voice. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Jesus don't fear the reaper, nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain.
Ready. 24 minutes before the hour, and we'll go to the phones, and I want to finish with one really disturbing little story before we close the program. But right now, to the phones, and Susan. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Just fine. I wanted to correct one little misapprehension you and your guest have.
Which is?
That all religions are predicated on an afterlife.
No, on fear. On fear.
Either way. Nope.
Okay. Go ahead.
Wicca does not believe in an afterlife. They don't believe in heaven or hell. What you do is right here. This is it, Charlie.
Well, that's well and good, but it doesn't necessarily disprove my thesis.
Well, no, I'm not saying it proves or disproves. I'm just saying that one fact needed to be corrected. However, I am going to come down on your side as far as your conversation with David, because people in my particular small little sect found out the hard way. You either go completely off the radar, or you stand up for yourself, or you get eaten.
Yeah, and I think the first impulse is to go off the radar, but you find out that that's not sufficient. The only way that you can really protect yourself is to be out in the open and demand that you not be hurt.
Yeah.
And you know, there's that closet again.
Which is why I'm saying on the air, I am a witch.
Yeah. And see, I there's probably no reason for me to do this, but I'll do it anyway. What my beliefs are, I keep to myself. I can tell you what my beliefs aren't. But if I was to sit behind this microphone and patiently explain what I believe, and the few things out of what I believe that I know, or vice versa, I would open that up for agreement or disagreement, and people would feel like, again, fear-driven, that somehow agreeing or disagreeing with me was a marker or a signpost or some level of sort of judgment, and I won't do it. I just won't do it.
Yeah, well, that's why I don't go into, per se, the core values of my beliefs, because we don't proselytize. In fact, we don't want you.
Yeah.
If you want to become a member of my religion, you have to do it all on your own. No. There's no such thing as proselytizing.
Yeah, and there's no horse to hitch to and be pulled along.
Forget it. No, we don't do that thing.
And see, the vast majority of so-called mainline world religions are all horses, and they're going to, you know, they're going to bring you along. They're going to show you the way. And if you happen to come up with something that deviates from accepted dogma, they're going to call you a heretic, and they might even kill you.
Oh yeah. You know, it's like the example you used for the Muslims. If you read the Quran. It is a beautiful religion, and I can get behind it utterly. I reject totally the culture that grew up around it, because it's sick.
Or the culture from which it grew up, and that's a significant distinction.
Yeah, but the religion itself, as written, is gorgeous. Unfortunately, they aren't following that holy book, not in any way, shape, or form. No more than the so-called Christian religions in the United States, you know, especially the quote born-agains, are following.
Look, take the saddleback fundamentalist fundy operation in California. Take the Dobson operation. Take the Robertson Falwell ORU Oral Roberts operation. Any of these Creflo Dollar, Joyce Meyer, Benny Hinn. And for the record, let's throw in St. Peter's Basilica while we're at it. Take in all of these incredibly rich organizations. Now, stand it up against the words of Jesus where he says, give away everything you have and follow me.
And follow me, yeah.
Now, who's following Jesus?
Don't measure up.
No.
And I reject it.
I reject every last bit of it.
The culture sucks. The religion that came up around it sucks. The writing is magnificent.
Some of it.
Yes, some of it.
The part about women need to shut up in church and cut their hair, you know, not so much.
Yeah, let's face it. A lot of that writing was written by some of the most twisted people you've ever heard of.
Well, you know, that'll happen to you when you've been out in the desert in the sun too long.
Yeah, I know. But, yeah.
Ain't good for you.
Yeah, on the whole, it's a very, you know, the teachings of that brown skin day labor are beautiful.
Yeah.
As a prophet, he was magnificent. But the culture that sprouted around that, those teachings, they're no relationship to any of it.
I can highly recommend, it's a very thin little book, but I can highly recommend to anybody who's interested in seeing how the dogmatic strain of how the Christian dogma developed in its earliest form, a book that was co-authored by Elaine Pagels and another woman whose name escapes me at the moment, but it's called Reading Judas, and it's about the Judas text that came out a year, 2 years ago.
Oh, and didn't the Vatican have a hissy?
And it is absolutely, didn't everybody have a hissy? But it's fascinating because, among other things, it would appear that Judas text is an outright rejection of the fetishism of martyrdom.
Yeah.
And that it's a, you know, a couple of $10 words, fetishism of martyrdom, but to reject that had profound implications for the early church. Where, you know, because the side that won was the side that said, go get killed, the grislier the better, it'll be just like Jesus.
Whew.
Could can you imagine in civilized society, modern society, saying something like that? You know, you would be branded a cult, and, you know, you'd get the David Koresh treatment. Because it's insane, just like Koresh was.
Yeah, but by the same token, they've managed to, these days, they dress it up and package it and instead call it Pat Tillman, and you get the same result.
Yeah, or, you know, hey, you know, welcome to Jim Jones.
Yeah.
Drink the Kool-Aid. Yeah. I mean, we talk about the right wing drinking the Kool-Aid. Let's always remember where the Kool-Aid reference comes from.
Yeah, that was licensed arsenic.
Cyanide, wasn't it?
Nine.
What? Wasn't it cyanide?
Oh, okay. I meant, yeah, cyanide.
Yeah. But
disgusting.
You know, it's not easy. No one said it was, because you're attempting what my Eastern philosophy professor taught me way back in the day, was that one of the things that Zen teaches, as he explained it to me, is that this is all a road to madness, because it's an attempt to answer questions of the heart with the faculties of the mind.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right, well,
and
Susan,
basically, whatever keeps you warm through the night.
Yeah, John Lennon, whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right.
Yeah.
That used to, way, way, way before you ever listened to the program, that used to be my opening music. Really did.
And thank you for playing the...
Oh, the Queen piece?
Yes.
Yeah, I just thought that fit so well. I'm learning to do this producing on the fly thing, as long as the software will cooperate.
I miss Freddie.
Well, yeah. Lost a lot there. Susan, thank you very much. I got one little hissy to have yet before the show's out, and I don't want to not have
okay.
it.
Okay, your hissies are great. Thank you, and love Agnes.
Okay, bye now.
Bye-bye.
That's our news ninja, Susan, calling from Columbia City, Oregon. No, yeah, I do. I really, really do. I got one hissy left, and it's a hissy for you and me and everybody who, you know, cares about constitutional government. Maybe you've seen this already. It turns out that the New York Times tipped the CIA to the fact that they were about to break a news story about the fact that the CIA destroyed all its videotapes of its torture of two top terror suspects back in 2002. They waited 3 years to destroy the tapes. That would be 2005. They had them till then, and then made a unilateral decision to get rid of them. Michael Hayden, who is the head General Michael Hayden, who is the director of the CIA. Dude probably never heard a shot fired in anger. Said that the decision was made to destroy these tapes, which included, you know, tapes of the dude being waterboarded, you know, tortured. What he said, and this is a quote. Well, this part isn't. This is reading directly from the Associated Press story. The CIA also decided to destroy the tapes in, and this is a quote from Hayden, in the absence of any legal or internal reason to keep them. The decision to destroy them was made, quote, after they were no longer of intelligence value and not relevant to any internal legislative or judicial inquiries. Let me reread that. They were no longer of intelligence value and not relevant to any internal legislative or judicial inquiries. Well, General Hayden, how the hell are we supposed to know that in light of the fact that you unilaterally destroyed these torture videos before a judicial officer could rule on them? How are we supposed to know, General Hayden, since you destroyed the tapes before any legislative body could rule on them? How are we supposed to know, General, that your internal people ruled that they had no intelligence value or legal value? He went on, he wrote, the tapes posed a serious security risk. Were they ever to leak, they would permit identification of your CIA colleagues who had served in the program, that means who had engaged in torture, exposing them and their families to retaliation from Al-Qaeda and its sympathizers. Pardon me, but horse shit. I don't do that very often, but honest to God, General, how damn stupid do you think we are? These tapes were destroyed for the same reason that there was a 17-minute gap in Richard Nixon's tapes. They taped, the CIA did, the interrogations of the first two terror suspects the agency held, one of whom was Abu Zubaydah, and the other was Ramzi bin al-Shib. He was captured and interrogated, and with Zubaydah's information led to the capture in 2003 of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. It's important to note that because we don't have these tapes, we can't tell when the information came out. And that is important. It could be that when bin al-Shib or Zubaydah heard the water running in the tank, that he said, I'll tell. It was Colonel Mustard in the conservatory with the lead pipe. For Christ's sakes, I'll tell. And they waterboarded him anyway. And tortured him anyway. And extracted a little pound of flesh for 9/11 anyway. But we can't know that now because General Hayden has told us that the tapes were destroyed. Now, there's two different ways to look at this. There is the take him at face value and understand that he is committed or he is commenting on the commitment. I can't say that he did it himself, but he is commenting on the commission of a criminal treasonous act, at the very least a felony of obstruction of justice. There's that. Or we could take him on the consideration of this little bastard is running the CIA and wouldn't know the truth if it introduced itself and shook his hand, and that the tapes are still there, but he's running a smokescreen hoping to God that they never rear their ugly heads. Hayden said a secondary reason for the taped interrogations was to have backup documentation of the information gathered. Geez, I guess a stenographer wouldn't do. A House Intelligence Committee official said the entire committee, not just its two top members, should have been informed. They weren't. But hey, this is 2005. It's a Republican Congress. and information was, shall we say, dear. So the Republican head of the House Intelligence Committee was told about it, and he kept mum from his colleagues in the Congress. That individual should be summarily removed from the House. So should the Democrat who was informed, let me be clear. This is evidence of the commission of a war crime. This is evidence of a commission of a crime against humanity. The CIA destroyed that evidence. The CIA will get away with it, because you're hearing this. You and several thousand other individuals are hearing this tonight. Nobody else is. Or it's being written in such a way that it's dealt with in a 30-second reader on a TV network news program. And there's little commentary to go with it. There isn't the explanation that goes with it that I have taken the liberty of doing, pointing out that this is a felony and that the people who committed it should be tracked down, imprisoned, held without bail on charge of treason, and dealt with accordingly. Hayden's message was an attempt to get ahead of the New York Times story, as I mentioned. What matters here is that it was done in line with the law, Hayden said. No! Until a court has had the opportunity to rule on whether you have the right to destroy it, you have not acted in accordance with the law. Until another arm of the system has the opportunity to petition a court to make that ruling, you have not complied with the law. Over the course of its life, the agency's interrogation program has been of great value to our country. It has helped disrupt terrorist operations to save lives. It was built on a solid foundation of legal review. Bull! You cannot operate in the shadows and have a solid foundation of legal review. There was no legal review, no matter how much you prattle on, General Hayden. You circumvented that legal review. How dare you talk about having You see, in November, the CIA admitted in federal court that it had failed to hand over videotaped prisoner interrogations relevant to the trial of Al-Qaeda conspirator Zakarias Moussaoui. Oops, the baby. Message from Ben Birch: the Army does everything in triplicate, so does the CIA. The tapes exist. And Michael Hayden is doing what CIA directors do. Michael Hayden is lying. And you should be, I hope, shocked and horrified. Perhaps even enough to complain about it to your member of Congress. Maybe. Possibly. You think? So many thanks go out this evening to all of you for joining me, either live or in podcast form, or in the loop that will go down via the live stream, both at headonradionetwork.com, at iTunes Radio, at Phonostar, at Receiva, on the pages of afterdowningstreet.org, and at the main page of our dear friends, WD40.com. Thank you for sharing your time with me. Thank you to our chief engineer, John Fox. Thank you to our IT professional, Peter Godbold, who's on his way with the world's most fabulous LGBT conversation radio program, another Just Us program. I think it's going to be, as I said, fabulous. John Fox will be on his way with All Foxed Up at midnight Eastern. In between, there will be a horn section. Hey, you know, that's a regular show now, right? Thanks to Ben Birch, the hardest working man in liberal talk, WhiteRoseSociety.org. And always, 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 Gina, RMR, it's all for you. Listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is the Quality News Network. House Democrats won passage of a wide-ranging energy bill that requires the first increase in car fuel economy standards in decades. Next, facing a tough Senate vote, the legislation would then likely be vetoed by President Bush. The bill contains provisions that repeal tax breaks for oil companies and requires utilities to produce most of their electric power from renewable sources. A new White House plan to freeze subprime mortgage rates for the next 5 years, introduced by President Bush today. More than a million American homeowners faced with rising mortgage payments will have a better chance of holding on to their homes. Thousands of subprime mortgage holders have already defaulted on ballooning payments, losing their homes as a result, something which threatens to knock the U.S. economy into recession. U.S. negotiators attending the largest ever summit on global warming continue to reject any proposal for mandatory reductions in greenhouse gas emissions. The U.S. is the world leader in production of such gases, the U.N. conference in Bali attracting 10,000 delegates from 190 nations. A federal appeals court blocked a White House policy that allows logging and burning projects in national forests without first determining any effect on the environment. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that the U.S. Forest Service violated the National Environmental Policy Act, billed as a way to reduce wildfires. In the Pacific Northwest, state-owned helicopters and rafts continue to rescue residents stranded by heavy flooding. Power remains out in some regions. Both Oregon and Washington State are declared federal disaster areas. Today's scheduled launch of the space shuttle Atlantis scrubbed by NASA officials. Problems with two fuel gauges set back the lift.